Seeing a massive amount of pollution, they're clogging up the place, and the and it's cover for the government's evil little scheme to spray the air with mind controlling drugs or whatever it is that people think they're doing up there. I don't think that that's a crazy policy either, and I think most people would agree with that too, because most people aren't 15% of us. If 15% of people take 70% of flights, then, maths fans, that means 85% of people take 30% of flights. And I think the 85% are a larger number, and they would be okay with a more frequent flyer being taxed a little bit more. And it's not going to be a lot, it's just going to be a little bit more. They really won't notice it. It'd be the price of a bottle of wine at lunch. Okay, two bottles of wine at lunch. All right, three bottles of wine at lunch.
Booze.
We're on holiday. So there you are. The Greens' extremist victory pushes Britain one step closer to the abyss. God, the stuff you read in the papers, eh? 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Email nick@lbc.co.uk. If you are on WhatsApp, it's the same number as the phone. 0345 6060 973. Friday, Saturday, Sunday night at 10. Nick Abbott, LBC.
This is LBC.
Close your eyes. Take a deep breath. And come on in to Classic FM Calm. LBC's soothing sister station. Find peace in the music with Classic FM Calm. Listen on Global Player or ask your smart speaker to play Classic FM Calm.
And now your travel news. It's starting to look a bit congested on the A4872 southbound. We're hearing reports people are slowing down to look at the Volkswagen Transporter sales event. Apparently you can get £1,500 off any new Transporter. That's any variant, any trim, and any colour until the 31st of March. Now that's a deal worth queuing for. Search VW Transporter offers. UK retail customers 18 plus. Discount applies to price of all new Transporters ordered by 31st of March and delivered by 30th of June.
It's the last chance to get yourself a ticket for Saturday's Lotto draw.
It could be you.
Lotto from the National Lottery. Rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
Across the country, thousands of drivers are feeling electric about switching to an EV. And here's why. They can go from London to Sheffield on a single charge that could cost around a fiver. They're ecstatic about that and the exhilarating feeling behind the wheel. Plus, with charging made simple at home, they're always ready for the drive ahead.
I can see why they're into it. Switch to an EV and get that electric feeling.
Cost and range dependent on tariffs, model and driving habits. For full details, visit gov.uk/clean energy.
The Philly cheesesteak is back at McDonald's and it's still intensely cheesy. Imagine the cheesiest thing ever. Now cover it in cheese. Add two beef patties, cheddar cheese sauce, crispy onions and even more cheese. The Philly cheesesteak. Did we mention it's cheesy? Available until the 16th of March 2026 from 11 a.m. Fees apply to delivery orders. Price and participation may vary. Subject to availability.
This is LBC with Nick Abbott. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Alexa, send a comment to LBC.
Well, the whole world's gone crazy.
Yes, the whole world is on the edge of the abyss because of the crazy greenies are taking over. This email from Dan in Sandstead goes on a bit. God, it's about 15 lines long. Could you not have edited it for me, Dan? He says, I've been longing for your dulcet tones. Okay, so that's the first sentence, wasted. About 1.5 hours in on Friday, you were on a call with Della and doing the discourse. It's just too flowery a language being used there, Dan. Didn't read. Too long, didn't read. Basically, he wants me to watch Red Dwarf. Well, let me think about that for a moment.
No.
I'm just not going to bother. I mean, it could be brilliant. I'll never know. I just have a bit of... it's not... I'm allergic exactly, but I'm usually disappointed by British television. It's usually a bit, you know, not as... I mean, there's only so many hours in the day. I might as well watch the best stuff, right? I mean, there's only so many hours in the day to watch football. So I watch what I imagine will be the best of that game and watch the, you know, match of the day, the Premier League. I don't want to watch Division 2 because I don't think that it'd be as good. You've got to prioritise. Although I did see people have been going on about this thing called Industry, which is a BBC thing, and I thought, OK, I'll give it 5 minutes. It'd be usually this, you know, the same old kind of tired British drama. It'll just be weak. But it wasn't weak. It was actually quite good, apart from the nudity.
Disgusting.
Now, I'm not a prude, but do we really need to see people pretending to have sex? Because we know they're not doing it. So you just got to sit there and wait till it's over. It's like, oh, God, get on with it. Grunting and panting and you're not doing it. So why do we have to sit through you pretending? There's so much of that these days. It's almost become obligatory. And here is the news. In the nude. This email from Deborah says, people that want to bring back fox hunting are, just the letter R, losers, exclamation mark. Two crying, laughing emojis and six fox emojis. Or at least that's what it looks like. It looks like a fox head. Or it could be one of those one of those furry people. I don't ask me why, but they dress up as animals and engage in shenanigans. And you believe that?
Dreadful.
Vinny says, a few days ago, the old Jaffa kook was blathering on about space aliens. Imagine how disappointed they'd be in response to take us to your leader. Yeah, he was talking about...
The little people. But it ain't like you think. It ain't leprechauns, don't you see? It's little men from Mars or somewhere. And it ain't a toadstool they're under. It's a spaceship.
Oh, here is Birmingham, that. Shirley.
Hi, Nick.
Yes, Shirley.
Yeah, I was trying to solve the problem of this so-called family vote.
Oh, yeah.
What they need to seriously do is have some staff, maybe volunteers,
yeah.
And the staff put up a notice saying only one person in the booth, that's the rule. So, for example, they wouldn't allow you a dog in there.
Yeah.
So you've got the right to say don't bring in dogs. You've got the right to say only one person in the booth.
Mm-hmm.
Have a staff member who then... says, if you can't vote, we'll help you. We have got blank sheet of paper.
Mm-hmm.
We'll show you what to do.
Yeah.
You then go in the booth and do it by yourself.
Oh.
One person at a time.
Oh, I see.
But right. We'll voting. Show you.
Yeah, we'll yeah, show you.
And just have a volunteer.
They always have volunteers. They always have volunteers at voting booths. There's at least two, maybe three. At least somebody could have said, oi, one at a time.
Yeah, and show the lady how to do it. And even have an Urdu speaker so that she's not obliged to listen to the husband or the child. I do think they're kicking up a lot of fuss.
Well, they lost. So,
yeah.
So, yeah.
Thankfully, because although, by the way, Nigel's quite kind of funky and people would vote for Nigel.
Shut up. Funky? What do you mean? There are several definitions of the word funky. I'm going to look one of them up for you, and I would agree with one of the definitions off the top of my head, most certainly. F-U-N-K-Y, deaf.
Yeah.
Right. Now, you don't mean funky like... Nobody wants to see him dance.
No, but he let himself down, seriously, with Braverman, Generic, even with Richard Tice. Richard Tice said he wanted a wealth fund using pension funds. So you want other people's money for a wealth fund. So that's not right.
Well, I'm not sure that pensions are best put in stocks and shares because they're so volatile. I mean, you get to the age of 65 and there's been a bear market, like they say, and you haven't got anything in your pension fund anymore. But, you know, at least your money went to prop up some businesses in the meantime. But it ain't no benefit to you. Okay, here are the definitions of the word funky. One of these I agree with, as pertains to Nigel Farage. Of music having or using a strong dance rhythm. Modern and stylish in an unconventional or striking way. Or strongly musty. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. But, I do hope they don't get in reform, because they are dangerous. They weren't to start off with, but with generic, Sweller, that's generic's dangerous. You know, his racism and all that type of thing.
Dangerous in the presence of children's cartoons, that's for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, I hope they don't. And by the way, there was when I was in Sainsbury's, there was this was a while ago. There was a newspaper. They laid them all out, and this one caught my eye. It said, "People have been turned away from the vote booth because you don't look like your photo." And that was, and they were ethnic minorities, 400,000 of them. Now Nigel should really be looking at that. Who gets turned away and you don't look like your photo shouldn't be good enough.
400,000 people were turned away from the voting booth because they didn't look like the picture on their ID.
And they were all ethnic minorities.
400,000?
Yeah. I think it was in The Voice. If you could look up a back copy
I
of
most
that.
Certainly, Shirley, will do nothing of the sort. But thanks for the advice. All right, cheers. 400,000 people in Gorton and Denton were turned away from the poll. Well, that is alarming, considering that the Greens won with 14,000. But we're going to look into it very strongly, Shirley. Leave it with me. Vinny says, a few days ago... Oh, no, that's the old Jaffa Kook, right. Paul says, I've been listening to old shows from the pandemic... Hang on a minute. Paul says, hi, Nick. Hi. I've been listening to old shows from the pandemic era, and you mentioned suffering tinnitus after your second jab of the vaccine. Did I? I had much the same, so I called the helpline, and it just... Oh, no. Now, you see, I should punish him by not reading the end of that. Because that will really irk him. Because, he went to a lot of effort. He thought, oh, this will amuse. I'll write this in. He won't see this coming. So I should just stop reading it here. But then you'll never know. Paul says, hi, Nick. I've been listening to old shows from the pandemic era, and you mentioned suffering tinnitus after your second jab of the vaccine. I had much the same, so I called the helpline, but it just kept ringing and ringing. Oh, God. A listener with material.
Oh, no.
Painful. Matt says, hi, Nick. Donald Trump claims to know more about everything than anyone, except when it comes to knowing about Jeffrey Epstein. He is surprisingly out of the loop on that one.
Are you still talking about Jeffrey Epstein?
Yeah, we're still talking about Jeffrey... what was his name again? I forget. I never met him. I don't know anything about him. And him and Bill Clinton are giving each other alibis. What the hell is going on? Craig says, dear Mr. Abbott, with three Bs, which is one more than completely necessary. He says, please play the Don't You Ever Talk to the President That Way clip. The noise at the end cracks me up every time. And here's a platonic green heart. Well, now, the noise at the end, it was a personal noise. And I don't believe that there is such a noise at the end of this clip. Let's listen.
Don't talk to me that way. Don't talk to... I'm the president of the United States. Don't ever talk to the president that way.
Oh, well... Yes, it was. I hadn't noticed that before. And you believe that?
Disgusting.
Oh, please. Nobody wants to hear that, Donnie. Put a cork in it. Darlene Hope says, I could have done the State of the Union address in one word. Dreadful. Yeah, I didn't listen to that. Am I going to sit there and listen to that man drone on for almost 2 hours? Absolutely. No chance. I'll just read the reviews of the edited highlights. I'm not going to listen to the edited highlights. I'll read the reviews of the edited highlights. I'll sum it up in one word.
Liar!
Yeah, pretty much. Prices are down, he said. Ignore the evidence of your own eyes. It was the most essential command of the dear leader.
I'm doing fantastic and everybody loves me.
Hall Insurance says, take a moment to pity the poor Reform fans who thought everyone in the country agreed with them because their posts got thousands of likes, only to find out that bots can't vote.
Affirmative.
Correct. I suggest that, as in condolence, flags be lowered to half lamp post for the rest of the week. Oh, it really is sad, isn't it? What a great start to the day. 0345 6060. I mean, I opened my phone with trepidation, and I thought I'll make my breakfast before I, you know, maybe get the bad news. I'll get something down me. I'll make some coffee before I really, really need it. Because, you know, I don't want to start grinding beans when I'm emotional. I might take the top of my finger off. And so I did all of that, and I sat down, and I opened the computer, and oh! There you go. There is a God. 0345 6060 973. Friday, Saturday, excuse me, Friday, Saturday, Sunday night at 10, Nick Abbott, LBC. It is just past 10.30, the news headlines with Tim Daly.
The Foreign Office is advising against all but essential travel to Israel and Palestine as tensions escalate in the Middle East over Iran's nuclear program. It's issued the guidance after the government announced it had temporarily withdrawn its staff from the Islamic Republic. The Home Secretary is expected to warn Labour against a shift to the left after its heavy defeat at the Gorton and Denton by-election. Shabana Mahmood is also expected to tell Labour MPs next week all voters want to see controls on migration. And an investigation has begun in Belfast after a statue of Queen Victoria was vandalised. This afternoon, a Republican group posted a picture online appearing to show one of its supporters pouring red paint over the monument. LBC weather becoming dry with clear skies for the south of the UK. Showers will continue in the north and the northwest. We'll see a low of around 3 degrees.
This is LBC.
And now your travel news. It's starting to look a bit congested on the A4872 southbound. We're hearing reports people are slowing down to look at the Volkswagen Transporter sales event. Apparently you can get £1,500 off any new Transporter. That's any variant, any trim, and any colour until the 31st of March. Now that's a deal worth queuing for. Search VW Transporter offers. UK retail customers, 18 plus. Discount applies to price of all new Transporters ordered by 31st of March and delivered by 30th of June.
A southern train is a place where family moments become more peaceful. Where you can spread out and a game of I Spy gets a scenic upgrade with snacks, stories and the occasional sheep for a bonus point. Less stress, more yes with kids tickets for £2 at southernrailway.com. Terms apply.
It's not easy being a clamp, stuck on the wheel of the one person on the street who didn't tax their car. Yeah, Graham at number 7, I'm talking about you. Bet the neighbourhood group chat is as well. Wish I had a group chat. Maybe I can chat to myself.
Hi, Clampy. How's it going?
Not great, Clampy. Being clamped to the only untaxed car for miles is so lonely.
Over 98% of drivers tax their vehicle on time. Tax it. Don't risk it. Visit gov.uk/DVLA/taxit.
It's the last chance to get yourself a ticket for Saturday's Lotto draw.
It could be you.
Lotto from the National Lottery. Rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
We're just being out there brief, mate.
Stuck waiting again.
Tell me about it. I've spent all morning trying to get through to my GP.
Oh, I ditched that stress and joined Benenden Health. They've got 24/7 GP helpline. No waiting rooms, no sitting around.
Really? Sounds like a great service, unlike this one.
We're just about to get moving again.
Press play on your health with the 24/7 GP helpline and much more. All for less than £16 per person per month. Search Benenden Health. Fee review periodically. T's and C's apply. Qualifying periods apply for some services. UK only. Visit benenden.co.uk.
Nick Abbott on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
This is preposterous!
It's Derek in Cullen.
Hi, Nick. How are you?
I am great, mate.
I'm glad to hear it. I want to say thank you because you have enlightened me.
Oh, yeah.
I was listening to the greatest 500 songs, whatever you call it, while I was making my son's Meccano set.
Oh, really? You've taken over that, have you?
Yeah, didn't it take long?
Yeah. Now, did you buy it for him, but you actually bought it for yourself? Yes.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. It's fun. Anyway.
I remember Meccano. I bet it's exactly the same as it used to be. What have you made? A crane.
Well, I thought I was making a Formula One car, but it wasn't until I was finished that I realised it was a normal car.
Okay. Well, that goes down as a fail.
Yeah. Comfortably Numb was on this list of the greatest songs.
Right.
That's the first time I've ever listened to it all the way through.
What?
So, I know.
Up to now, you've been bailing out halfway when the guitar solo kicks in. That's the best part.
Well, that's what I was saying to you before about one of my favourite bands, Lamb of God. Their guitars are epic.
Mm-hmm.
Have you listened to that?
No, I have. I have not. No, Lamb of God. No.
Yeah, Walk with Me in Hell. It's an epic song.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. Yeah, probably illegal in some countries, I would imagine.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Did you celebrate 2 days ago? By the way.
No. What was it?
It was National Chocolate Covered Day.
National Chocolate Covered what day?
Nut.
Nut.
Yeah.
My favourite crisp company is making an Easter egg with crisps inside. I know. Wow, eh? What a combination. I have been saying on this show for I can't remember how long that somebody should put out crisps covered in chocolate. And every now and again somebody says, well, they have, you stupid moron. Why can't you do your research? And I've never seen them on the shelf. I've seen pictures that people have sent in, but they are not readily available. But this crisp company is making an Easter egg with crisps inside.
Oh.
I know.
Surely you could cover your own crisps in chocolate.
Well, you can, but don't call me Shirley.
Anyway, am I right in thinking you... I don't even think your birthday is the 22nd of August.
The 22nd of August is my birthday. Yes, don't forget it. Write it down. Very, very important.
Do you know what national thingy is appended to your birth date? Like what? National Covered in Chocolate Day or whatever.
No, I don't know. Who comes up with this stuff? Is there any overriding... Is there an overseer who says, no, that's ridiculous, you can't have that? Or you can have this if you, you know, modify it in some way? Or do you just get to say it and it becomes a thing?
It sounds as though you don't approve, but wait till I tell you what day your birthday is on. National Be an Angel Day.
Be an Angel Day. What does that even mean?
A day dedicated to performing acts of kindness, supporting those in need, and appreciating people who bring comfort.
And mind your P's and Q's.
Be polite!
Yeah, on that day.
I looked at my own day, July the 12th. National Simplicity Day. I thought, yeah, that's great.
There you go.
But back to National Chocolate-covered Nut Day. I've never heard that before. But I used to visit my granny, and she always had a bowl of plain peanuts on the side table. And I'd always help myself whenever I went in.
Yeah, as will have the flies help themselves.
Well, they were tasty.
A bowl?
Yeah, but this bowl was never empty. It was always crammed full of plain peanuts. And one day I asked my granny, I says, do you not eat them? And she says, no, I'll just like sucking the chocolate off.
Oh, another listener with material.
Oh, no.
All right, say goodbye, bye. Derek. Okay, ta-da. Jamie in East Sussex says, hi, Nick, have you tried the New World's headline generator? James shared it yesterday. It creates headlines in the style of the Telegraph. Here's one I made with it earlier using your name and Brexit as a prompt. The Nick Abbott agenda against Brexit is a terrifying glimpse into a woke totalitarian future. It's great fun. I highly recommend it. Perhaps you could use it for Meghan Watch. Well, maybe, yeah. But we've got other business to attend to at the moment. Here's the report in the mail. Floundering Nigel Farage insisted he will fight on today after being humiliated by the Greens in a disastrous by-election. No, of course it doesn't say that. None of the right-wing press even touches on what a colossal loss it was for Reform to lose the election. They were so confident of winning. All the polls said they would win. Fagash was even so sure he went off on one of his foreign trips during a work week. trying to pull a stunt about the Chagos Islanders. He was going to bring them aid. He'd be better giving aid to one of the poorest and most deprived areas of the country that he happens to be the Member of Parliament for. Labour was never going to win. The polling showed they didn't have a chance. And it was going to be the Greenies versus Defect. And that was the fight that the papers were talking about all week. Don't vote Green, they said, or we will be forced into being a heroin-addicted prostitute.
What?
Yeah. Prostitution will be mandatory under a Green government, said the papers. You'll be banned from eating meat, they said. Cars will also be forbidden by the crazy Green Party menace, and you'll be forced to ride donkeys to work. If you vote Green, you're all going to die, and they'll use you as fertilizer for their marijuana plants.
Want to score some pot?
Just say no, kids. In fact, just say no thank you. I mean, good manners don't cost nothing, do they?
Be polite!
And despite these warnings of a Green apocalypse, voters decided to humiliate Fag Ash and that curious bloke off the telly that was the deformed candidate. I mean, Skier knew what was coming. There was no way Labour were going to win, but Fag Ash must be distraught. Oh, his poor little face. Imagine if they've peaked and it's all downhill from here and the best he'll ever get is to be Member of Parliament for Clacton. Wouldn't that be awful? Okay, here's a story in the Mail. Floundering Keir Starmer insisted he will fight on today after being humiliated by the Greens in a disastrous by-election. The PM played down the result as disappointing. It was a setback for the government in mid-term, he said. He also shrugged off condemnation for blocking Andy Burnham from being the Labour candidate and dodged directly addressing whether he had considered quitting, which was a question that was probably shouted at him as he walked up the street to number 10. Are you going to quit, Prime Minister? You know, the people in the press who yell stuff like that. Do you feel ashamed, Prime Minister? Yelled by reporters who know they're never going to get an answer to any of those silly questions they shout across the street. They do it anyway. The Greens had apparently never won a parliamentary by-election or a seat in the North, but Hannah Spencer romped home with a 4,400 majority. That's right, deformers. You lost. Get over it. The one they thought they were going to win. The one that they had champagne on ice for. Probably in the Savoy, where Nige is more at home than when he's pretending to be a farmer in a comedy flat hat and dressing up box of spotless wellies.
I'm a nutcase.
And it was so close. Actually, no. They were miles back. So far that Fag Ash went total Trump and said the Greens won by cheating.
Oh, no.
He'll blame Hillary's emails next. Of course, it might have gone differently if Skier had allowed the Manchester Mayor Andy Burnham to be the candidate. But a pretty good reason not to was that Manchester would then be deprived of the mayor that they'd just voted for and who had until May 2028 to fulfil his duties. Also, Burnham might try and stage a coup, and which politician on earth would enable a coup against them? Skier said, incumbent governments quite often get results like that midterm, but I do understand that voters are frustrated, they're impatient for change. He said, I came into politics late in life, as it happens, to fight for change for those people who need it, and the people who need an NHS that works for them, to be able to get a doctor's appointment when they need it, and to get money they need in their pockets to pay their bills and have a decent and better life. Which is, you know, one way of going about your duties, or he could have just sat on the cliffs of Dover and spotted boats for a TikTok video and spent the rest of his time sucking up to Donald Trump and any Republican in America who stood still long enough for him to pucker up and vapor lock onto. And anyway, who would replace the dear leader? Not Wes Streeting, just no.
Yes.
And not Angela Rayner. I mean, I look at Angela Rayner and I just don't think she's prime ministerial material. And then I remember Liz the Blundertruss. And I think, well, couldn't be that bad.
Absolutely.
But the Blundertruss didn't have to win an election, did she? Apart from the one thrown by the geniuses that run the Conservative Party. You remember the Conservative Party, don't you? Yeah, they used to be a thing. Well, they're not a thing anymore. At least not in Manchester. They got 1.9% of the vote.
What?
1.9. I mean, that could just be a statistical error. It's possible they got the same as we traditionally get in the Eurovision Bloomin' Song Contest. Null point. The Unite General Secretary Sharon Graham said, if Labour need any further wake-up calls, this is clearly one. Labour need to now ditch the gimmicks and get back to being Labour. Not new. Not one that plays games, but real Labour. Stop listening to your rich mates and start listening to everyday people, said Unite General Secretary Sharon Graham. The Mail said the humiliation will be especially personal as Scheer made a campaign visit to the seat on Monday, although he was carefully kept away from ordinary voters. You know, in much the same way that Nigel Fagash is kept away from ordinary voters, unless foreign-registered billionaire property developers and foreign-registered billionaire tech moguls and foreign-registered billionaire investment managers count as ordinary voters. Labour won Gorton and Denton in the 2024 general election with more than half the vote. Although it was a new seat, the party has held that area of Greater Manchester since 1931. Less than 2 years on, the Greens overturned Labour's majority of more than 13,000 votes to give themselves a fifth MP in the House of Commons. Hannah Spencer, a 34-year-old plumber, will become only the sixth ever Green MP. She's thought to be the first woman plumber to enter Parliament, which is handy because the toilets next to the Lord's dining room are always needing a good rodding.
Correct.
I think it's what their lordships eat, mostly.
They're eating the people that live there, and this is what's happening in our country.
This is what's happening in our country. It's not pheasants they're eating, it's peasants.
The little people.
The Green leader, Zach Polanski, said if we see a swing like this at the next general election, there will be a tidal wave of new Green MPs. Yeah, that's right. But like they say on the financial adverts, past performance is no indicator of the future. Hannah Spencer secured 14,980 votes to win the seat, with a 4,402 vote majority ahead of Reform candidate Matt Goodwin. And Labour's Angeliki Stogia on 9,300. You could barely fit a Rizla paper between Reform and Labour, by the way. Hardly anything at all. But the Greenies were way out in front. And no one can remember the name of the Tory candidate any more than they can recall the candidate for the official Monster Raving Loony Party. Actually, I bet people can remember his name, because you're once heard, never forgotten. Sir Oink-a-Lot. It's what he's called. Maximum respect to the oinker. I bet he tastes a little bit like chicken, but I wouldn't want to find out. But I bet if he stood still long enough, the House of Lords dining room would put him on the menu. 0345 6060 973. Friday, Saturday, Sunday night at 10. Nick Abbott, LBC.
Hey, smart speaker. Play LBC.
Good morning, I'm Nick Ferrari. It's time to get to your calls.
Hi there, thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for taking my call.
I've been working since 14, I've been saving, and I have absolutely no chance of buying my first time home.
Hear every side of the story.
In April last year, I was diagnosed with ovarian cancer. Everyone from nurses to cleaners and everything were just lovely.
So I've got 5 years of tuition fees, and it's now £108,000. If it continues at this interest rate, it would have eventually reach 200k.
Listen on your radio and on the LBC app.
Having social media, that's why we meet. I'm scared for my child all of the time.
LBC.
It genuinely means the world to be heard.
Leading Britain's conversation.
This is 40-year-old Kathy, mother of two and self-confessed telly addict.
Oh, look at you. That's brilliant. Well done.
This is also Kathy, working as part of a team to keep things calm at her local prison.
Come on. Come on. Listen, speak to me.
And helping someone's son write his first letter home in 8 months.
Well done. You should be really proud.
Thank you, miss.
An extraordinary job done by someone like you. Search prison jobs now.
With up to £3,000 every year towards career growth at Amazon, I started in the warehouse, knowing I could train in things like coding or robotics. It turns my job into a career. So it means I can be who I want to be, even if I haven't quite decided who that is yet. Amazon, opening doors with up to £3,000 every year towards career growth. Eligibility conditions about type and duration of employment apply.
Shine Night Walk London is a 10K, half marathon or full marathon supported walk around the city at night on the 19th of September to raise vital money for Cancer Research UK. It's also
everyone walking with all their colours, twinkling away.
We can actually see how nice London is. And London is different at night time.
Celebration of life, and it gives hope.
Step towards a brighter future at shinewalk.org today to get 30% off your entry. Together, we are beating cancer. T's and C's apply.
Get 3 months half price when you switch to an unlimited SIM with Three. That means quick streaming, faster downloads, and more money to spend on the things you love. Join the UK's fastest 5G network and get your unlimited SIM today. Buy now in store or see 3.co.uk.
Unlimited 24-month light plan. Proof of switching required. Based on Ookla Speedtest Intelligence data 2H 2025. All rights reserved. Subject to credit checks and terms.
It's not easy being a clamp stuck on the wheel of the one person on the street who didn't tax their car. Yeah, Graham at number 7. I'm talking about you. Bet the neighbourhood group chat is as well. Wish I had a group chat. Maybe I can chat to myself. Hi, Clampy. How's it going?
Not great, Clampy. Being clamped to the only untaxed car for miles is so lonely.
Over 98% of drivers tax their vehicle on time. Tax it. Don't risk it. Visit gov.uk/DVLA/taxit.
Nick Abbott on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
0345 6060 973. Here is my lugubrious correspondent from Merthyr Tydfil. Hello, Jeff.
Okay. Told you, Nick.
What did you tell me?
Last week.
Yeah.
I said they peaked. You said, nah. I said they peaked. Not me talking, bookies. The bookies have put them down. They did it. They've been doing it over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Reform are going, they peaked. Can I remind you that this started in Caerphilly 3 months ago. Funnily enough, it was a 50% turnout there in the by-election.
Yeah.
It's 4,000 majority for Plaid Cymru in Caerphilly and a 4,000 majority up in Denton.
Yes, let's just pause and reflect on that a moment. They couldn't even get half of the people to be bothered to go and vote. I mean, that is just embarrassing. What does it take for people to get out and vote? The booths are open all day long, from probably about 7 in the morning till 10 in the evening. There's absolutely no excuse whatsoever not to vote, and yet we couldn't even get half of the people to go and do it.
Fine. One in three houses, I think, in most constituencies don't vote.
That's terrible. Absolutely terrible. I mean, I'm just speechless. If kids, because it's mostly kids. Hey, kids, get your faces out of your phones for 5 minutes and take some responsibility for the future of your life. Because if you don't take responsibility, if you don't help to decide what happens with your future, then your worst old relative is going to do it for you. You know, the one that you really hate coming over at Christmas, sits at the table, you can't stand him. I'm going to assume it's a him.
Yeah, all the gubrious all over the place.
They're going to, if you don't go and vote, then they're going to vote for you.
Yep. All I can tell you, Nick, is that the fight back has started. Mm-hmm. You in England, you'll be voting green. Down here, this neck of the woods, Plaid Cymru are really out in front. We've got a major election coming up in about 70, 80 days. And Scotland the same. You'll see, you watch, they've peaked, right? No matter how much money they're pumping in, no matter how far he can go out to the Mauritius and all the rest of it, he just turns up. He thinks he's the kippers knickers, doesn't he? You know what he's like. I'm just saying he's shot his boat.
Right.
I said it
just before. I mean, wouldn't it be sad if he'd peaked as the MP for Clacton? couldn't happen to a nicer guy.
Okay, now I know your extensive knowledge on the birds. I got to take my hat off.
Jeff, ask me anything about birds, and I guarantee I won't know the answer.
How fast will those swifts come and take the bread out of your hand? Remember that? Remember that?
No.
Remember you were sitting somewhere and said the swifts were coming to snatch the bread
out
of your
hand? No, I've never had that conversation with anybody. What you have just described never happened.
I got it in writing. It's part of the charge sheet that I tried to get you banned and failed because I was betrayed.
Well, you were. If that's why you were trying to get me banned from the Goose and Cuckoo, then you were lying about that. I've never fed any bird from my hand, ever.
No, they snatched it out of your hand in an unwilling way. Or you were frightened of it.
No.
You were frightened of this.
No.
Okay. We'll move on.
Yeah.
We'll leave that one. Have you noticed, this is the original question, have you noticed the absence of small birds? Are you still feeding them? Are you,
No, I haven't fed them in a good long while since I had... there was an incident with a goldfinch. Well, lots of goldfinches, actually, because I spent about 20 quid on a massive bag of seeds, which were mixed. And that was my first mistake. I bought mixed seeds. Well, they would only eat one of them, so they used to sit there all day long, throwing all of the seeds that they didn't like, which is about 90%, on the ground in order to get to the ones that they did like, blooming things.
Okay.
And they took over. Like, I mean, they're a marvellous thing to look at, but no other birds could get a look in.
Well, I've been feeding them, and suddenly they've all disappeared.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then I spotted him, Sparrowhawk.
Oh.
Yeah, he's eating them all.
Right, well, I hope the sparrowhawks can be persuaded to just concentrate on eating parakeets, because those things must be corrected.
Okay.
Who's with me?
Well, introduce a few, see if we can get them, make them taste.
Right.
Right, and lastly...
And finally.
One thing, lastly, I went to America many years ago, right? And I was amazed to see on the weather forecast, on the telly... They always put the Gulf, jet stream on as a little bit of a little bit of an animation to show where the jet stream is.
Right.
And I'm talking, say, 20 years ago. Now, on rare occasion, you will see the jet stream indicated on a British weather forecast.
I think it's absolutely vital because... The jet stream is fundamental to the weather that we are experiencing. Because if it meanders, then it's moving slowly. If it's just like a river, a slow moving river will meander, just as the jet stream does. If it speeds up, which is what the climate scientists say is a possible outcome of climate change, then it will just be a line beneath which it'll be hot. Above which it'll be freezing cold because the weather will be pulled. It acts like a wall, essentially.
Yeah.
And in some summers, it seems to be determinedly below us, pulling in that cold northern air.
Yeah.
And I think last year that we had that hot heat?
Yeah.
It would have been above us, pulling in that Saharan air.
Yeah, well, this is what you're talking about, your blood rain. It's a direct result of where the jet stream is.
Yes.
Yeah, there's no question. In America, it's an important part of the weather forecast.
Right.
And every time you look at it, there it is in America. It's never on here.
It gives you a shorthand as to what it is that they're going to tell you for 5 minutes. All you need to do is look where the jet stream is. Is it above us or below us? And then you can draw your own conclusions.
Exactly. So where is it? Why don't they use it? It's simple enough to put on there. And it's very explanatory, I thought.
Yeah.
But they very rarely use it. Anyway, that's a minor detail.
At least it gave you something to moan about for 5 minutes.
What's the first name of that bloke, Johnson? You know, Johnson, he was leaping onto his feet like a seal.
Wait, that guy.
Mm-hmm.
He jumped up and clapped like mad, Donald will say, well, this is what, and he'd leap up and clap like a fool, a speaker of the Senate.
Oh, you don't mean Boris Johnson, you mean Speaker Johnson. That guy. Yeah, the... Yeah.
What's his first name? Don't know. Anyway,
I can't remember. He's banned from the Goose and Cuckoo. Right. Well, it's about time, Jeff. He should have been banned ages ago. But good work. Finally, you got there. 0345 6060 973. Friday, Saturday, Sunday night at 10. Nick Abbott, LBC.
On your radio. On the LBC app. And...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 11 o'clock. Donald Trump says he's not happy with Iran following talks over its nuclear program. Negotiations between Washington and the Islamic Republic ended this week without any agreement. President Trump insists he wants a deal but remains undecided about authorizing military action against Tehran. The Washington-based national security correspondent J.J. Green has been telling LBC Iran's allies are becoming a cause for worry.
The proxies in the region are restless. Hamas and Hezbollah and all of those proxies that are aligned with Iran have been on their heels for 2 to 3 years now. And I do think as well, from what I've heard here in Washington and from sources beyond here, there is a very real concern right now that there could be a first strike by one of these proxy groups that might trigger something.
President Trump has also raised the possibility of a friendly takeover of Cuba. Speaking to reporters, he said the U.S. was in talks with Havana at a very high level. The Home Secretary is expected to warn Labour against shifting to the left after its heavy defeat at the Gorton and Denton by-election. Shabana Mahmood is due to tell MPs in Labour next week. All voters want to see controls on migration as well. LBC's political editor Natasha Clark says she'll be outlining more ways of following the Danish model when it comes to dealing with asylum seekers.
LBC's been told there will be a bigger focus on increasing upfront financial incentives for failed asylum seekers to return home earlier in the process. The Danes currently offer up to £30,000 to speed up removals and have halved the number of people awaiting deportation with this approach. The Home Office claims that there are hundreds of families who have failed their claims, who are still spending years in taxpayer-funded asylum hotels while they await their removal.
A Metropolitan Police officer has been dismissed after trying to interfere with an investigation. A disciplinary panel was also told PC George Grover Sutton committed serious sexual misconduct and subjected a colleague to controlling behaviour. He was formerly based at the Met's firearms unit. Paramount has secured a deal worth more than £81 billion to buy the Warner Brothers Discovery Group. Netflix walked away from a bidding war for the company, saying it was no longer financially attractive. And the U.S. singer-songwriter Neil Sedaka has died at the age of 86. He initially found fame during the early years of rock and roll before enjoying a revival during the 1970s. LBC weather becoming dry with clear skies for the south of the UK overnight. Showers will continue affecting the north and the northwest. We'll see a low of around 3 degrees. From Global's newsroom, for LBC, I'm Tim Daly.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Abbott.
This is absolute tosh.
This guy is sick. There's something wrong with this guy.
Something wrong with me. Mark in Marbella, Marbella, says, hi, Nick, hi. Global's new app is awesome. I heard you tease tonight's show, so I had a quick whiz through it on Fast Forward, and it's a cracker. Tomorrow's is even better. Keep up the good work, says Mark. It's like a magic trick. How can you fast forward a show? How do they do that? Tom in Plymouth says, Nick, British boffins say they have developed AI that can detect sarcasm. So that's it then, the end of your career. Well, detecting is one thing. Can they produce it? South Norwood, hello, Philip.
Hello, Nick. Very sad to hear about Neil Sedaka.
Are you going to get over it?
Well, I actually had a chance to... the songs, I mean, Amarillo, of course, and the early days where he was a sort of a... He was a rock and roll singer in many ways, with songs like I Go Ape and You've Got to Learn Your Rhythm and Blues. I had a chat with him on LBC.
Oh, yeah.
So some years ago. He was on a late night phone-in, and it was interesting that he was one of the first people to make a music video.
Oh?
Yeah, when there was a French company called Scopy Tone, and they were the first people that when you put your money into the jukebox, you saw a film of the person singing.
Oh, yeah.
And they had one in Battersea Park in the old Pleasure Gardens, and one of the songs was Neil Starker singing Calendar Girl. And all these videos are on YouTube, so you can see them. They were called Scopy Tone. And he was saying that, you know, he was asked, you know, would he like to make one? And he said, yes, he would. And, I mean, he was, because he was such a varied, he was a great piano player as well, classical, as well as other things.
You know, at some point, and I'm going to call it, this year, at some point, all of the people that we grew up with listening to are all going to fall down dead. Because they're all about there or thereabouts. And yeah. It's not going to affect any other generation, because no other generation grew up with the kind of artists that people who are in their 60s, 50s and 60s did.
Yeah.
You're breathing heavily, Philip.
I'm sorry, I'm just sort of listening to what you say. I do apologise. But as I say, you were right. I mean, you know, with the singers, you know, you look in the paper and you think, oh, dear, those are tough, you know, that are still around.
Yeah.
one other thing, Nick, I just wanted to mention. You mentioned earlier on about funky.
About who?
You mentioned the word funky.
Funky, yes. F-U-N-K-Y.
Do you remember, Nick, there was a cartoon series made by Hanna-Barbera called The Funky Phantom. Did you ever see it?
No, I did not, no.
It was about an old man, it was based on the Canterville Coast, about an old man lived in the clock, and when the clock struck 12, he came out with his cat, and with a group of teenagers, they went round catching ghosts.
Those pesky kids.
Yeah, it was a sort of variation on Scooby-Doo.
Scooby-Doo, yeah.
Yeah, and one of the voices was Mickey Dolenz from the Monkees.
Oh, right.
And we had a chat with him also on the phone in, and he said that it was interesting because they did the voices for the cartoon, and then it was sent to Korea to be fitted in with the animation. So, yeah, they sort of did the voices, and then they, I suppose, put on cassettes or whatever they did in those days, and sent to Korea to be, you know, joined together.
Right, well, explain the banana splits while you're at it. Bet you can't.
Oh, yes. Well, they were blokes in them, in those clothing, weren't they?
Nonsense. They were real animals, and you know it.
Didn't Hanna-Barbera have some great... do you know, everybody thought that it was Phil Silvers on Top Cat, but it wasn't.
No, that's
Arnold
right.
It was Stang. Did you know that Arnold Stang came over to the UK and appeared on Blue Peter?
Well, I do now. There's stuff you learn on this show. Educational, no?
No.
All right, excellent work. Thanks a lot, Phil. Neil Sedaka, this is the Rolling Stone. Neil Sedaka was one of the most successful performers and writers of the 60s and 70s, enjoying two distinct eras of success. In the early 60s, his sugary pop and doo-wop inflected tunes like Breaking Up and Oh Carol... Hey, Carol.
What?
She called her book Oh Carol in relation to that tune. Nicked it, she did. Doo-wop inflected tunes like Breaking Up and Oh Carol dominated the pre-Beatlemania charts. A decade later, he returned as an adult contemporary star with hits like Laughter in the Rain and Bad Blood, neither of which I can think of off the top of my head. But I know Oh Carol, and Breaking Up is hard to do. Yes, excellent work, Neil Sedaka. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah, but like I said, we're going to have to prepare ourselves because at some point, all of the people that we grew up with are all going to die at the same time. You know, Mick and Rod and Keith and others. I mean, I could sit here and just name names from now to the end of the show, but what would be the point of that? They're all going to go. Very, very soon, because they've all been treating themselves very badly their entire lives. You know, staying up late, all of that sort of stuff. And they're all about that age. I mean, they can't keep going on forever, you know. We're going to lose them all at the same time. It'll be like Skittles. We're just going to have to struggle through. Chin up, everybody. Goring by Sea. Hello, Ash.
Hello.
Ash.
Hi there.
Hello there.
Thanks for taking the call. I didn't expect you to take it. I didn't want to phone about anything particularly interesting, but I very much like the show. And thank you for making Friday, Saturday and Sunday nights very interesting.
Well, I appreciate it.
I'd phone in about something interesting at some point, but I'm quite centre in politics, but I know that you're more maybe centre to left, but I very much appreciate your observations on politics, so thanks for that.
Right, so you woke up this morning like a blues star. Well, I woke up this morning, and you turned on the TV and radio, and you got the news, and how did you feel?
Well, I work night shift, so by this morning I'd been up for 24 hours at that point. Right. But I did listen to one of your shows last night. I don't know which one it was. It's very interesting listening. I'm only a new listener, again, thank you for the entertainment.
Well, thank you for thanking me. What do you do overnight?
I work at the NHS night shift.
Oh, an NHS worker. And has the NHS changed in any way since the Labour Party took over from the disaster fest that was the Tories over the previous 14 years?
I'm not in the general hospital. I'm in the rehab wards. Wouldn't say that much has changed, but I think that... I'm not a fan of the Labour Party massively, but I do understand that, you know, it takes a long time for changes to be enacted, as you well know as well.
That's right. Well, I know it, and you know it, but nobody else knows it. They expect a change to come instantly, like he's a magician.
No, I see, exactly.
Right. Well, okay, so are you up in order to go out to your shift, or have you come back?
I'm not on shift until at some point next week.
Right. Doesn't that mess with your body clock?
Well, it does a bit, but I've done them for 7 years, so I'm quite used to them. But I suppose you're also a night shift worker yourself, aren't you, technically? Anything beyond 9 p.m.
I suppose so, yeah. It is a bit like jet lag for me at the weekend, but like particularly coming into Monday. And particularly if the builders are coming in first thing on a Monday morning, because they show up at 7:30.
What?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, painful. Why can't they? Why can't they just have a little lie in every now and again? Wouldn't that be nice?
Well, that's it, especially on Sundays. But yep. Your producer asked me to tell you about my day, which I have just unbiased. I did say to her that if I told you that I had gone home and slept for 4 hours so that I sleep a normal amount tonight, you'd probably play the Homer Simpson sound of him going boring.
You could request it, but you know it's not a request show. I'm not going to be saying that. Request another time, and I'll think about denying that request at that moment. All right, excellent work, Ash, and we appreciate your endeavours.
Thank you.
Jamie in East Sussex says, "Hi, Nick, have you tried the New World's headline generator that Jane..." No, I've done that one. This says, "Did you notice that the Tories have been pushed into fourth place behind the Groovy Greenies on current betting odds of getting the most seats at the next election?" No. Have they? We're talking about the Conservative Party. Do you remember the Conservative Party? There used to be a thing. The funniest bit, says this texter, was Fag Ash accusing people who did not vote for his party of being brainwashed by members of their family. He said this to the UK media, where 80% of our national press is owned by just three foreign billionaires, agreed with Fag Ash that only they should be allowed to brainwash the UK public every day, as it's never failed yet. Exactly! Yeah, he complains and complains and complains.
Stop whining.
Yeah, but only if he loses. Like Donald Trump. He's still going on about it, Donald Trump. Dave says, "Before the result, the papers and the right were calling the Greens bunny huggers. Now they're calling them brain-eating vampire aliens." Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the amount of material that they threw at the Green Party in the run-up to this election was absolutely massive. They threw everything they could at them. It's going to be mandatory to become a prostitute if the Greens win this by-election. They didn't use those exact words, but that was pretty much the inference. They will force heroin down your throat and insist you become a prostitute if the Greens win that election. desperate stuff. And they were also very upset that Fagas didn't win, that they couldn't even address it in print. They pretended that it never happened. Reform Party? I've never heard of the Reform Party. Who are they then? They sound jolly. It was all about the person that was everybody knew was going to lose anyway, as though it was a tremendous shock. I mean, what poll said that Labour was going to win that election? Zero. They all said that Fagas was going to win with the defectors in Reform. Or Tory... It's not exactly Tory light, is it? It's more like Tory dark. They got a light blue rosette, but there's nothing light about them. Sounds like from the dark side to me. Keith in Exeter says if they legalise drugs, they could put a tax on it and bring in a fortune for the country. Yes!
I know more about grass than any human being, I think, anywhere in the world.
Just ask him. He knows. He knows more about everything than anyone. Everybody says so. 0345-6060-973. Friday, Saturday, Sunday night at 10. Nick Abbott, LBC.
This is LBC.
My name's Mark, and this is my NHS story. The sensation in my neck was painful all the time. Once I spoke to my GP, they referred me to my CDC. They got me in very, very quickly. The amount of pain I went through for something so easy, why hadn't I done this 4 months before?
The government is opening new community diagnostic centres, with many already available 12 hours a day, 7 days a week, so the NHS can be there for all of us when we need it. Find your closest one at gov.uk/NHS Fit for the Future. Available England-wide.
JP Morgan Personal Investing gives you the clarity to make more informed decisions on your investments, which is great because right now something else just became crystal clear. Your kid just outgrew the kids menu. Now he's ordering a truffle gnocchi. You consider making a don't gnocchi it till you try it joke, but now's not the time. Now's the time to grow his world, one bite at a time. Search JP Morgan Personal Investing. Invest with clarity. Capital at risk.
Wrong tool for the job? Don't make that mistake with your van. Get up to 30% off selected new Toyota vans and pickups with a warranty up to 10 years or 100,000 miles with every qualifying routine service. Visit your nearest Toyota centre or visit toyota.co.uk/van savings for more details. Savings on selected vans and pickups ordered by the 31st of March 2026. UK residents, see toyota.co.uk for full details. T's and C's apply.
Leading Britain's conversation, Nick Abbott. Alexa, send a comment to LBC.
I don't feel normal at all.
What is normal? Zenga from Harsden says, I wonder why billionaire newspaper owners hate the Greens, whose policy it is to tax billionaires. Yeah, it's a mystery, ain't it? Somebody should look into that. There must be some reason why billionaire newspaper owners hate the Greens, whose policy is to tax billionaires. Why would they do that? Hate them so much. Can't imagine. Ipswich. Hello, Phil.
Nick, I've been doing some homework, so you don't have to.
Thank you.
I was looking at how much it's going to cost, the minimum it's going to cost to refurbish the Palace of Westminster. It's £15.6 billion.
What?
Yeah. Now, thanks to the fantastic people of Denton and Gordon, right? They've got a plumber and a plasterer sitting there, right?
That's right, yes.
Now, all they've got to do is elect a couple of chippies and a sparky.
Right.
They'll have it sorted out by the end of the month.
By the end of the month, they'll have it sorted out.
Yeah.
That is right.
Because you just know that Hannah Spencer's going to get there on Monday and go, oh, that's going to have to come out.
Tricky.
Who did that?
Tricky, she'll say.
That was a thing. I don't know. That was really what I wanted to say. But also, just to pick up on what the other Phil said just after the news, I agree. Anil Sudhakar deserves a bit of respect. He did some good stuff.
Yeah. RPSECTP. Respect.
That's the one.
Yeah.
My favourite of his is actually a song called "The Hungry Years," which is one of the last ones he did. Rita Coolidge covered it as well.
Oh yeah,
but it's just a really nice song. And yes, he went through various phases. bit of an idiot at times, but actually, you look back and you think, he was good at what he did.
Yes, so, of course he was good at what he did. He wrote some songs that the whole world is still singing now. I mean, if it came on the radio, you'd turn it up and you'd be singing along. Even if you haven't heard it for decades, you'd still know all the words. Yeah,
absolutely.
What a marvellous thing to be able to do. I'd love to be able to do that.
Wouldn't that be good? Yes, and you say and the longevity. I mean, I don't listen to pop music these days, but I don't know. A genuine question: will people be listening to Taylor Swift or Ed Sheeran in 50 years' time? I've no idea.
I don't know, but they probably won't be listening to them as frequently as they listen to the Beatles and the Rolling Stones.
True. Yeah. That's what it is.
You don't listen to pop music now. Now, you're not one of those people that says, oh, you know, there's no good music being being made anymore, without actually looking for any.
No, because I enjoy choral music.
Oh, right.
And classical music. That's my thing. I do listen to new recorded music, but it's that kind of thing. Whatever, you know.
So even if it's...
are playing these
things. Even if it's new, it's old. Yes.
It's
old music. I mean, you're describing things that were, and I've got no idea about the dates here, but let's say 500 years old.
Usually a couple of hundred years old.
Mostly
written by dead Germans, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so anything new in that genre, hate that word, in that genre, anything new is going to sound like it was written by a dead German.
Yeah, but then you see, you get people like Arvo Pärt and other people.
Oh, Arvo Pärt. Yeah, he's Arvo, fantastic.
No idea.
No. No idea at all. All right, excellent work there, Phil. Thanks a lot, mate. He's proposing that we listen to choral music.
Boring!
Yeah, thanks, but no thanks. No sale. I'll be listening to the new Jill Scott album. Oh! It is fan-a-bloomin-tastic.
Rock and roll!
It really is. Jill Scott, put it on your list and thank me later. No, wait. I've changed my mind. You can thank me now.
Thank you.
Let's have Hazelmere. Hello, Della.
Hello, Nick.
Della.
I wanted to say congratulations to Hannah Spencer. What an absolutely marvellous bit of news.
Yes.
And it's not often that you wake up in the morning and get some good news nowadays. And can also taken the Tangerine Dream off the, you know, headlines.
Yes. I know. It's marvellous. I've got almost nothing about... Well, I've got a little bit about Donald Trump to say, but I'm hoping that I don't get around to it.
Yes, fantastic. Let's keep talking about her and keep her off. And the other him off. And the other thing is, tonight we've had Jess and Philip, my favourites. So, oh my God, it just gets better.
What a day. Write it down in your diary. Mark it with an asterisk.
Oh, I will do.
Yeah.
Now, there was a couple of things. You know, it's just been so great because she's the plumber, the plasterer, now the MP. And it kept, you know, spinning around in my brain was, do you remember there was a show in the 80s, a kids' TV show called Super Gran? And she was Scottish. It was Gudrun I think that's how you pronounce it.
Right.
And anyway, there was a lyric to the song was, she'll do things that you never saw your granny do. Is there nothing that she canny do? And I thought that is just Hannah Spencer, isn't it?
Because is there nothing that she canny do?
Yes, exactly. Is there nothing that she canny do? And that was by Ian Cuthbertson, who played a character called the Scunner Campbell. I love that word.
Right, well, I don't remember any of that, because the 1980s I was 20-something.
All right, no, but the reason I thought was because that Scunner is a great word, and I think Farage has definitely been Gunners, hasn't he, to say?
Well, I don't know what that means, and I hope that it's broadcastable.
It is, don't worry.
Okay.
But hang on, there was something I really want to say, which is important.
Yes.
Is this, I want to know, what is the percentage of the
Six.
People vote? No, seriously, who are voting for these parties? You know, there's this thing about this family voting that they've been going on about.
Yeah.
But just think about this logically. What they're saying, that they're presumably people from ethnic minorities, their husbands are telling them how to vote. Is that the implication of it, right?
Right.
Are they saying that without their husbands, that Muslim women are voting for Farage. If they, I mean, that is a logical conclusion.
Well, I suppose
it?
So. Yes, that's the only conclusion that you can draw from what Fagash is saying. Yes,
exactly.
He was cruelly denied all of those votes
because of
this alleged cheating that he's talking about. But I knew that he would go full Trump if he lost.
Mm.
Because,
exactly.
He went full Trump when he thought that he was going to lose the Brexit vote. He said that we would have we would need a second referendum if it was 48 to 52, when he thought he was going to lose the Brexit vote by 48 to 52. But because he won it by 48 to 52, no second referendum was necessary.
We should have a second referendum.
Yeah, but what kind of a stupid moron would want a second referendum?
We should have a second referendum.
You believe
what
that?
A surprise. What a surprise. Honestly. But we should need to see it, but this is what I've been said before, but everyone thinks I'm a nutter, but they just think that women and ethnic minorities, it's not that we're just the lowest of the low, that we just don't even exist.
Yeah.
We have no kind of mental capacity.
No,
whatsoever.
You can't think for yourselves, you empty-headed women.
Exactly. And don't even start what they think of the ethnic minorities. Dear God.
Yeah, don't worry your pretty little head about it, Della.
Thanks, Nick.
Okay, cheers, my dear. 0345-6060-973. Yeah, so the swing away from Labour was big. But the good people of that manor didn't have the option of a renewed Green Party to vote for last time, did they? And Labour is going to take ages to fix the country that the Tories left in a mess. And the one thing that people don't appear to have is patience when they've been promised change. But change takes time. It takes a lot longer to put something back together than it takes to smash it to bits. And the Tories had 14 years to smash this country to bits, so it's going to take a while. But I like this new MP already. In her victory speech, the Greens' Hannah Spencer apologised to customers who have booked her in for plumbing jobs. She said, "Now to my customers, I'm sorry, but I think I might have to cancel the work that you had booked in because I'm heading to Parliament. And when I get there, I'll make space for everyone doing jobs like mine," she said. "We will finally get a seat at the table," which is great. Respect to the plumbers, without whom we would be up to our eyeballs in it.
Disgusting.
And she said she'll be around Westminster first thing Monday morning. Well, not Monday. How's Tuesday? No, can't do Tuesday. Wednesday's free. How does 7:30 in the morning Wednesday suit you? To be stood up for no apparent reason without warning.
Thank you.
New Green MP, Hannah Spencer, said life has changed for local communities. She said, instead of working for a nice life, we are working to line the pockets of billionaires. We're being bled dry, she said. And I don't think it's extreme or radical to think working hard should get you a nice life. And I don't think that if you're not able to work, that you should still have a nice life. I think that absolutely everybody should get a nice life. And who could argue with that? Except for serial whiner and flat hat poser Fagash, who claimed that the Gorton and Denton by-election was a victory for sectarian voting and cheating. He said, they were so sure they had it in the bag, weren't they? Thoughts and prayers, Nige. Thoughts and prayers. And the Greens pitched themselves during the by-election campaign as the only option for anti-reform UK voters. And voters took that option. And the Conservatives, who you will probably remember from, the History Channel. A Conservative spokesman said, "Keir Starmer has killed the Labour Party." To which the response should be, who was it? David Cameron or Theresa May or Boris Johnson or Fishy Sunak or Liz Truss or Kemi Badenoch who killed the Conservative Party? It was Bodger, wasn't it?
Yeah. Wait a minute.
It was you, wasn't it, Bodge?
I can't comment on that.
And the vote share for the Tories was good grief. I mean, that they're still a thing, that they're still holding their head up and walking around in public after this deep embarrassment. I can't believe it. 1.9%.
What?
1.9. And Reform had 28.7%. And Labour 25.4. So, you know, not much in it, not really, considering that the turnout was 47%. What does it take to get people up and out of the house? But they won it in a landslide, 40.7%. So still not half of the half that could be bothered to show up, but way in the lead. And they thought it was going to be a Reform win, and they thought it might be a tight win, but Reform were definitely, absolutely and totally going to win it. And then I woke up this morning and I turned on the computer, and with trepidation I clicked on the Mail Online, and then... it's a bright, bright, sunshiny day. 0345-6060-973. Text 84850. Email nicka@lbc.co.uk. If you're on Twitter, it's at LBC. It's 11:30 on LBC, the news headlines with Tim Daly.
Donald Trump says he's not happy with Iran following talks over its nuclear program. Negotiations between Washington and the Islamic Republic ended this week without any agreement. President Trump has also been raising the possibility of a friendly takeover of Cuba. Speaking to reporters, he said the U.S. was in talks with Havana at a very high level. And a migrant from Afghanistan has been jailed for 10 years for the rape of a woman described as vulnerable and intoxicated. 25-year-old Mustafa Hotak was convicted after a trial at Southampton Crown Court. LBC weather becoming dry with clear skies for the south of the UK. Showers will continue affecting northern and northwestern areas overnight. We'll see a low of around 3 degrees.
LBC.
My name is Karen, and this is my NHS story. You don't realise how blind you are until you have cataract surgery. I was referred to a surgical hub, and they booked us in for an operation. It was about 3 weeks before I was there. It's very, very quick.
The government is opening more surgical hubs, with more than 120 already operating across England, so the NHS can be there for all of us when we need it. Find your closest one at gov.uk/NHS fit for the future.
At Amazon, over 50% of deliveries now come with less packaging or with no added packaging at all. It's a difference you'll notice on your doorstep, where you chat with friends, where your neighbour's daughter practices guitar, and where we deliver your new noise-cancelling headphones in the manufacturer's packaging. Ah, much better. Reduced packaging from Amazon. We're delivering change where it matters, on your doorstep. Based on 2025 Amazon packaging data across the UK and EU.
At Lidl, we value all the good that value brings. But what do you value? You value the quiet victory of a school run that glides without a hitch, the lunchbox negotiations. You value filling your boot, bringing everything and everyone to the table. You value your food, real food, fresh food, quality that speaks for itself. And so do we, giving you more to value at every step, every day. Lidl, more to value.
Tuesday night on the sofa, watching telly with Mum. Again.
Male walkers stay with the mothers for life.
This is the moment Stephen chose to speak to Barclays about Mortgage Boost, so he could borrow more with help from family or friends. We're helping first-time buyers get on the property ladder sooner. Search Barclays Mortgages. Barclays. Backing your future.
Your home may be repossessed if you do not keep up repayments on your mortgage. Subject to application, financial circumstances and borrowing history. T's and C's apply.
This is LBC with Nick Abbott.
You're joking.
0345-6060-973. Brian says, we fought the drugs and the drugs won. Sing. I most certainly will do nothing of the sort. Email from Ahmed says, around the corner where I live, a Turkish barber's has opened up. Every time I walk past, they seem to be busy cutting hair. Is this a legit business? Get Farage on the phone so he can talk us through how he spots his Turkish barber scams. Well, I know a lot of people are exercised about this because Fagash said it, but it's common knowledge. I mean, people have been known about this for ages. It's like those American sweet shops. they're scams. Not all of them are scams, of course. Not all barbers are scams. I mean, some are, you know, long-standing businesses, and some are run for the benefit of the owner and the customers specifically. Not some, you know, people smuggling gang. But where I live, you could stand in the middle of the high street with a garden hose and hit about 10. If it's not a charity shop, it's a barber's. And they just keep opening. I mean, I don't think there's actually two next door to each other, but it's they're not far apart. So many. And you walk by and they've spent a boatload kidding them out. They all look like they've gone to the same kind of barber's warehouse supplies. They look kind of, I don't know, oldie worldy, kind of wild, like American cowboy look, oddly. You know, rough wood inside and wagon wheels and stuff like that. I don't know what that's got to do with hair. But it looks a bit odd to me that there's just so many of them. And, of course, it's a cash business. So it would be surprising, actually, if there weren't a large number of barber scams. I don't know about Turkish barbers. I never walked in and asked what their nationality is. What's it got to do with me? But it looks a bit suspicious. Come on, at least we can admit that, Ahmed. Cumbernauld. Hello, Andrew.
Oh, hello, Nick. I was just wondering there if the people around your neck of the woods are particularly hairy so that they need barber chops.
Not that I've noticed, no. Larry, not hairy.
Yeah, not hairy. I was phoning up to nominate a programme for the weirdest kids programme of the 1970s.
Oh, it has to be Banana Splits.
No, worse than the Banana Splits, weirder. Do you remember a programme called Animal Quackers?
Animal Quackers?
Quackers.
Yeah, well, the name rings a bell.
It was these sort of second musicians dressed up in animal costumes. There was something, a sort of a blue lion or a blue tiger, and there was a tiger with an eye patch and things.
I'm just looking at a picture of it now. Yeah, wow, that looks. They actually look like Slade.
Yeah, this was 3 years worth of this program, and right. it was not very good. And they had them dressed up in those costumes, yeah. As you can see,
right.
So the Banana Split at least had some production values to
yes,
it.
Yes, well, they did, yeah.
But Animal Quackers, no, that was just weird.
They do look
weird
like...
Weird beyond belief.
They do look like Slade. I wonder if that was the intention.
Pass. No idea. Can't vouch for that. But if there's a weirder kids programme of the 70s out there, I wouldn't want
right.
to see it.
Well, get Noddy Holder on the phone right now. I mean, it's got a lot of explaining to do.
Yes, and also another little tidbit of information.
Yes.
The Super Grand Telly programme, the theme song was sung by Billy Connolly, if I remember right.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm sure it was Billy Connolly that sung that.
If you don't have your willies on, what will you do? And yeah. The rest of it, I can't remember how it goes now. But
yes, but the theme for that particular song was sung by... Sir William of Connolly.
Right. Billy Connolly used to hang out with, I think, half of Steeler's Wheel, didn't he? Because that was Joe Egan. And they produced one of my favourite albums of all time, Fergusley Park, which every household should have a copy of. That's just a fact.
Not guilty, I'm afraid I don't.
Right, okay. Well, you got...
So hot-foot it out to my local
Exactly,
mega
yes. All right, thanks a lot, Andrew. Glad to have been of assistance. Matt says, here's how to explain tax for the wealthy to young people. You get a big bag of Maltesers, and you give two of them to your mate, while you get to munch on the rest. That's basically what tax is, just with delicious honeycomb treats instead of coins. What's the problem with that? Is that an accurate representation of what tax is? You get a big bag of Maltesers, and you give two of them to your mate. I think you get a big bag of Maltesers and you give half of them to somebody you don't know. Would be a more accurate way of describing tax. In what parallel universe do you only give two of your Maltesers from a big bag to your mate, and that is what constitutes tax. That ain't tax. It's just doing somebody a favour. Gabriel in Hackney says, evening, Nick, with your frequent lack of holidays, do you reckon the Greens will allow you a tax rebate on flying? On not flying, you mean? Yeah, I'm a not frequent flyer. I'm a good boy, I am. East Yorkshire, hello, Mike.
Hi, Nick. How are you?
I am great, mate.
Good, good. Probably a silly question, the first one. Have you seen Bowie's Moon Age Daydream? All 2.5 hours of it?
Moon Age Daydream, it's a sort of a kaleidoscopic compilation of clips from David Bowie doing various things. They got clips of him on stage at, I think it was... Was it the Rainbow? No, it was the Hammersmith Odeon, when he said, this is the last tour we'll ever do, that one, Ziggy Stardust. You know, in the back of a car being driven around. And it's that, right? Moon Age Daydream?
Yeah, that's the one, yeah. Yeah. I recorded it at Christmas, and it's just this bad weather has got me around to watching it. It's fascinating, because it's a great insight into the man. He spends half the time just talking into camera as an interview.
Yeah.
And his personality comes right across in it.
Well, he's very, very smart. And despite what he looked like, which must have discombobulated the interviewer, I mean, he comes in with, you know, like luminous purple hair and he's wearing a tent. And then he conducts himself very well in interviews and gives, you know, very complicated and intelligent answers to questions that I'm sure they expected would floor him.
Yeah, it's the best, if you like, documentary I've seen about him.
Yeah.
It really was quite revealing. Okay, right, next one.
And he was quite self-assured right from the very beginning, because he fronted, I don't know quite how serious it was, but... Yeah, I think it was an organisation for men to wear long hair, something like that. And he was in a studio, and he was obviously the freak invitation there to be laughed at. But he quite disarmed the studio audience and his interviewer with the answers to the questions he was given. I thought it was really quite impressive as a speaker.
Yeah, the other thing was he was quite shy.
Yeah, very shy. And I always thought, I mean, I've seen him quite a few times on stage, and I always got the impression that he was never very comfortable on stage, and that's why he did all that other stuff, you know, dressing up and the mime thing and and going through the acting routines or just standing there not saying anything to the crowd at all, you know, like acting kind of like a robot like he did on the Isolar tour, you know, the Low and the Heroes album. He just never looked very comfortable to me. And there was a tour that he did, and I think that there's a video of it that comes around on Sky Arts every now and again. He in a Dublin church when he was very, very open and comfortable looking and smiley and chatty. And to my eyes, it looked like that was another act. Like he was pretending to be somebody who was comfortable and chatty on stage. Yeah. Which is kind of odd for somebody who is, you know, who has spent his entire life performing.
Yeah, one of the things that came across was it sort of tracked his moods over the years. And some of the stuff he really enjoyed, and then he'd go into a little bit of a depression, and he didn't seem to be able to find his way out of it.
Yeah.
And then something would happen, and he was off again. And when you see it historically in the sort of time moving on quite rapidly, it was quite funny the way his whole life went and how he dealt with it. I thought it was quite fascinating.
Yeah, it's very good. Moon Age Daydream, David Bowie. Yeah. Comes around on the also on Sky Arts, I think. I've seen that one. Yeah.
Yeah. On a sadder note, did you see Mr. Angry's performance when the results were announced at the by-election?
I didn't, no.
He didn't congratulate, applaud, it was just bile. I mean, it was, everyone else, all the other people who were there, applauded the winner.
Right.
And then he proceeded to have a 5-minute speech. I mean, it was shocking, but anyway... That isn't the reason I rang up.
I didn't see it, but I would imagine that the reason for that is that he thought he was going to win. He thought that it was a shoo-in. All of the deformers thought that they were definitely going to win that in a landslide. And I bet the newspapers, the offshore billionaire-owned newspapers, who are so desperate to get Faggots into number 10, they just can't wait. I bet they had already written the headlines, and it was going to be, the glory that is Nigel Farage. Finally, somebody has come to save this country from these evil Marxist woke communists. And then they saw the result come in, and, oh, big disappointment.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
But the funny, alarming thing, I actually rang you about, Nick, was a story from America this week, and a guy bought a robot vacuum cleaner. Now, for some reason, I don't understand why he wanted to control it from his PlayStation controller.
Mm.
So he got AI Claude to write the code for it. And when it had written the code for his vacuum cleaner, he realized that he had control of 7,000 of the same model vacuum cleaners all around the world.
No.
And he could program these to do a floor plan, because when you first get them, you program them, and it goes and explores. And
right.
Plots its environment, and then it'll allocate each room a name, and if you want to, on your phone, tell it to vacuum the dining room, you can do. Or you can tell it to vacuum the dining room and the kitchen, or the whole thing. But so he could program this thing to produce floor plans of 7,000 properties around the world. Wow. And it uses a camera to navigate. And he could control the camera on all 7,000 of these similar model vacuum cleaners around the world.
Wow.
Funny but alarming.
Yeah, we have given up all vestige of privacy, and we have given it up deliberately and freely for a small convenience.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird, but when you think about now, there's so much stuff. I mean, you get AI-controlled fridges and kettles and toasters and everything else.
Like, who needs that? Honestly, who needs any of that stuff? I have Wi-Fi-controlled lights, and my Wi-Fi went out, and I couldn't turn a blooming light on. Sitting there in the dark, feeling like a right chump. But it's worse than that, Mike, because your phone has multiple cameras. It has cameras on the back, and it has a camera on the front. And with a readily available piece of programming kit, certainly a government agency, and if the governments can do it, then presumably private individuals with evil intent, they can do it as well. They can take control of your camera. Now, think about the first thing in the morning when you're having a happy morning sit down. What are you looking at while you're doing that? That's right, your phone, which is probably looking at you right back.
You're right, yeah. People don't realise. People complain about ID cameras.
Yeah, exactly
and you're carrying a phone around with you all day.
Precisely.
It's insane.
Your phone knows more about you than you, like, literally does know more about you than you know about you. Mike, what were you doing at 3 p.m. 3 years ago today precisely? You've got no idea, but your phone knows. Your phone knows where you were. It knows how you got to where you were, and what speed you were doing when you were going there, and who you met when you got there.
Yeah, I startled one of my friends a few years ago because he gave me the phone and said, can you sort something out? And I went on, and I clicked on favourite places.
Yeah.
And I said, who do you know at 56 Charlton Street?
Yes. Why do you keep going to this massage parlour?
Why are you asking? I said, well, you go there twice a week. You've been going there bloody hell, he said. I won't expand on that.
Yeah, that's
right. That was sitting on his phone, and he was blissfully unaware that it was on his phone.
Yeah, I think it's called evidence, Mike. All right, thanks a lot. Yeah, very, very worrying. And it's all for a small convenience. We'll give up anything for a small convenience. But, a government tries to bring in ID cards to try to address the thing that everybody was screaming at it to address, as in people come in over here. and the hue and cry that came up around that was deafening. You've given up everything. Your phone, all you've got to do is twin the information that comes that your phone knows about you and with the information that supermarkets know about you, and there really isn't anything else to know. You can be completely controlled. You could be blackmailed. You could be embarrassed, certainly. You could be, you could have adverts tailored directly for your interests posted to your own social media site in order to persuade you to vote for one political party or another. And that's not my imagination running away with me. That's the truth. It's happened already. Brave new, it's a pretty frightening brave new world. 0345-6060-973 LBC.
Sunday with Lewis Goodall.
How the Prime Minister was describing or said his government would be in office.
We said we would end the chaos, and we will.
He promised to end the chaos. He promised a politics which would tread more lightly on our lives. Why has he not been able to do so?
He has promised to change the country, and that is exactly what we are doing.
Hear every side of the story.
Is that the end of the chaos now? One and done, or will there be more chaos?
Well, as you know, every week in politics brings its own challenges.
Well, maybe he shouldn't have promised to end the chaos then, because he promised it, and you promised it.
Sunday with Lewis Goodall. Sunday morning from 10. Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app.
Shine Night Walk London is a 10K, half marathon or full marathon supported walk around the city at night on the 19th of September to raise vital money for Cancer Research UK. It's also...
everyone walking with all their colours, twinkling away.
We can actually see how nice London is. And London is different at night time.
Celebration of life, and it gives hope.
Step towards a brighter future at shinewalk.org today to get 30% off your entry. Together, we are beating cancer. T's and C's apply.
Chase is the digital bank that gives you 1% cash back on groceries.
So, can I get cash back on cake mix?
Indeed.
And icing?
Yep.
And sprinkles?
Sure.
And candles?
Yeah. And you can turn all that cash back into a nice birthday treat.
How do you know it's my birthday?
Just a hunch. Get 1% cash back on groceries, fuel and everyday transport when you spend with Chase. Search Chase Bank. 18 plus UK residents. 1% cash back on this debit card spending for your first year. Maximum £15 per month. Eligibility and exceptions apply. May be changed or withdrawn.
The Hillary sale ends soon. So get window wise and grab these amazing offers while you still can. Like up to 50% off hundreds of made to measure blinds, curtains and shutters. Plus, grab £50 off your electric blind order and conveniently control your blinds for less. And don't forget, with Hillary's, measuring and fitting is always included. So get window wise and book your free in-home appointment today at hillarys.co.uk. But hurry, the Hillary sale ends on the 9th of March. Conditions apply.
A Thameslink train is a place where family moments become more peaceful. Where you can spread out and a game of I Spy gets a scenic upgrade with snacks, stories and the occasional sheep. For a bonus point. Less stress, more yes, with kids' tickets for £2 at thameslinkrailway.com. Terms apply.
It's the last chance to get yourself a ticket for Saturday's Lotto draw.
It could be you.
Lotto. From the National Lottery. Rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
1983 election, she's won a landslide second term.
Police have been deployed to disperse crowds as the poll tax riots escalate.
Credit crunches continuing to spread from the USA.
Britain has left the European Union.
I mean, this goes on.
Boris, Liz,
we've
Richie.
Helped Britain invest through 45 years of change. That's why we're the UK's number one investment and savings platform, trusted by 2 million people. Hargreaves Lansdown, helping Britain invest for it all. Investment returns vary. For claim verification, visit hl.co.uk.
This is LBC with Nick Abbott.
Who do you think you're talking to?
Yes, I'll be talking to Stephen Newquay in just a moment. First, a couple of messages. Paul says, just to say, I felt really proud when I heard the speech from the winner of the Gorton and Denton by-election. Kevin in Hereford says, do we know what Mr. Trumpet is doing today? P.S. Is he perhaps increasing tariffs again? Well, what's extraordinary is that I don't really have very much material about Donald Trump, only about sort of 4 or 5 pages worth, which is about 10% of what I normally come in with. It's been a pretty quiet week for him, which really does tell you a lot, really, about really, 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 let's use the word really a lot in a sentence. It really does really tell you a really large amount about how completely he has dominated the news. The first time around, but especially this time around. That you can go through a whole news week and it's not the most important... And he's about to start a war.
I'll bring us into war.
Yeah, and still it's not the most Trump-heavy news agenda this week. Graham says, the Daily Express is and always has been extremely odd. Are they still running front-page headlines with lurid and improbable weather scares? That was a constant theme. And they were very obsessed with Princess Diana. They continued to invent stories about her years after she died. They'll have stories like, we've got the exact date and time that 3 feet of snow will land in your area. And then you look at that story, and they don't have anything of the sort. 6 reasons why the Green Party will ruin your life. Number 5 will shock you. Stuff like that. Oh, and by the way, their web page, their website is unreadable. It's absolutely abysmal. Just like the Mirror. The Mirror's web page is abysmal too, their website. Shockingly bad. I mean, it is unreadable. You have to really force yourself to get through it. It's the same company. Kind of weird. You look at their websites and you think, when was this made? Like 20 years ago, at the dawn of newspaper websites, because things have moved on like a lot. Just say, I'm just trying to help. Am I helping yet?
No.
0345 6060 973. Newquay. Hello, Steve.
Oh, hello, hello. Lovely to talk to you. Yes, I'm bringing up obviously about the excitement for the by-election result.
Oh yeah,
and. Yeah, full disclosure, I'm a groovy greenie down in Newquay in Cornwall.
Oh, yeah.
And, it is. And it's quite good because a lot of the green politics thing is we've been building it up in the grassroots and we control the local council here and it's, you know, it's great. But I was woken up by an awful lot of WhatsApp pinging at ungodly hours when the result came through. And I genuinely thought, I thought we'd do okay. I didn't think we'd win.
No, I didn't think we'd win either.
I
got carried along by, you know, their reform their applause machine, which is the right-wing press in this country.
Yeah, exactly. So I was... amazingly surprised, but especially not just the win, but the magnitude of the win. But what I wanted to point out about the fact that is that we shouldn't get overexcited because it's a by-election.
Yeah.
And by-elections obviously tend to be more of a protesty vote thing. But the thing that made me feel really good about it is I stood in the general election back in 2015. And the thing that I found all the time, and even like the local press that was said, is that you can knock on doors as a green and say, hey, we want to do this, 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 and this. And people would agree with you, and then they go, yeah, I like what you're saying, but I can't vote for you because you'll never win.
Yes.
And now the point, I think, that is the significance of this, even though, you're bearing in mind it's just a by-election, not a general election, is the point is we can win.
Yeah.
And now that then will make that little shift in people's minds to think, I like what you're saying, but I can't vote for you because you'll never win. And we can now go, aha.
But we have. Look. Yeah.
Yeah, you know. And so I think it's, to be honest, we're all a little bit reeling with the, like, kind of, ooh, wow. You know, maybe we can actually, you know.
Yeah, are you comfortable in the spotlight? I bet a lot of people are thinking.
Yeah, I know. Well, I mean, to be honest, being in the Green Party, I think what it was always about was a fact of, like, not enough is being done quick enough. And we can see that things are going wrong, and the main parties are just kind of like, the Labour Party, you know, I'm not massively anti the Labour Party, but it's just slow and it's plodding and it's like endlessly compromising and all the rest of it. And it's that we haven't got time, and life is pretty rubbish for most people. So we need to just get on with the stuff. And we were, the Green Party was always like a kind of ass-kicking party. We were there to just go, look,
yes,
if you don't do this stuff, we're going to take votes off you. So get on with it.
It wasn't a serious party that was looking to run anything apart from Brighton.
Possibly. Well, no. Well, come to Newquay, Nick. Yeah. We're running it pretty well here.
I'd love to go to Newquay, Steve, but it's too far away. It costs it's so much money to take the train to Newquay. Why is it so far away? Somebody should do something about that.
Yeah, we really are. I originally was from London, moved here for love and surf way back in 2000. And we are a very long way from anywhere. And Devon goes on forever.
It's unnecessarily large, Devon. Everybody thinks so. So let me, because we're running out of time. Wait a minute. You're running out of time. So let me ask you, the running of the council was as straightforward as you thought it would be.
It wasn't that difficult. What we found was there was an awful lot of impediments in the way that once they were removed, you can actually make good pretty quick.
Okay, well, that's we'll end on a positive note. Got to go. Thanks a lot, Steve. 0345-6060-973. Friday, Saturday, Sunday night at 10. Nick Abbott, LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at midnight. The UK government has temporarily withdrawn its staff from Iran following the apparent failure of negotiations over Tehran's nuclear programme. Talks ended this week without an agreement. On Friday, President Trump said he was not happy with the outcome, but remains undecided about any military action. He's been speaking this evening at a rally in Texas.
Better make a deal that's meaningful. I spoke with Ted Cruz, John, all of them. On the way here, I said, well, you got to make a deal that's meaningful. We hit them real hard, as you know, with those beautiful B-2 bombers recently knocked out their nuclear capability. But I'd rather do it the peaceful way, but they're very difficult people, I want to tell you that.
Bill Clinton has told members of Congress in Washington he did nothing wrong during his relationship with Jeffrey Epstein. The former U.S. president also said he saw no signs of abuse during hours of questioning. Bill Clinton has not been accused of any wrongdoing. Labour MPs are expected to be warned against lurching to the left following the party's defeat in the Gorton and Denton by-election. Home Secretary Shabana Mahmood is due to address them in the coming week after losing heavily to the Greens and coming in behind Reform UK. But the former editor of Labour List, Peter Edwards, has been telling LBC he doesn't think the Greens have the credibility for government.
Most recently, their commitment was to raise taxes by £150 billion by 2029. The Greens will come under a lot of scrutiny. They didn't fight in Denton and Gordon on their core platform in the environment. The Greens are a smorgasbord of policies. I think they'll be attacked very heavily on economic competence. They will hurt the Labour Party in terms of votes, but Zach Polanski won't be a candidate to be Prime Minister.
The Swedish military is accusing Russia of being behind an unauthorised drone flight off the south of the country. They say it happened earlier this week while a French aircraft carrier was docked in the port of Malmo. The US singer-songwriter Neil Sedaka is being described as an inspiration to millions following his death at the age of 86. He became part of the early rock and roll era but had a string of newer hits during the 1970s. And in sport, Watford have climbed up to seventh place in the Championship. They've done it following a 2-1 win at fellow playoff chasers Bristol City. LBC weather becoming dry with clear skies for the south of the UK overnight. Showers will continue to affect the north and the northwest. We'll see a low of around 3 degrees. From Global's newsroom, for LBC, I'm Tim Daly.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Abbott.
Oh, hello.
What we got here is a failure to communicate.
Yes, but I'm doing my best. Adrian in Wicklow says, political news. I was listening to an old show of yours on the podcast and you were talking about Trumple Thinskin and Fag Ash. Will Trump and the tech bro gazillionaires be investing in photocopier toner producers, as there must be loads on loads of them being used to redact those files? Also, could reform try and remove the parakeets in a stop the boats fashion, possibly erecting cages on roundabouts with red crosses on them? Just asking. Yeah, what happened to the red crosses on the roundabouts? I mean, aren't people patriotic anymore? You run out of paint. Too busy trying to zip tie a Union Jack halfway up a lamppost. And threatening to punch the householder outside whose home you have done that with violence. If they even think about taking it down. Because that's patriotism, that is. Alex says, have you seen the story from The New Scientist that in 95% of war game simulations, AI has recommended nuclear strikes?
Oh, no.
What? It's bad enough that the Incredible Sulk can use them, never mind Skynet. Maybe we should take all those AI tech bros and stick them on an abandoned island somewhere. Oh, I think they're way ahead of you there. I think they bought the abandoned island and built themselves a palace underneath it, in which they can ride out the coming storm. And Don says, you still haven't watched It's a Sin. I don't even know what it is. What is it? Well, whatever it is, I haven't watched it. Oldbury. Hello, Rangers.
Hi. You're right.
Yes, good, thanks.
Yeah, you know Sir Oinkalot. Yeah,
I don't actually.
No,
he was one of the candidates for the Gorton and Denton by election. He was running for the Monster Raving Loony Party.
Yeah, I mean he got a few votes, yeah, but did he change his name by default? He must have, because you know, can you imagine him going for a job interview or something and saying, "My name's."
Well, Mr. Oinkalot, how can you benefit our company?
Well, you know, I'm a member of the Monster Raving Loony Party, and I might become Prime Minister.
Well, say no more. You know. Security.
Yeah. I mean, okay, I'm not going to say, but I'm going to leave it to everybody's imagination. If suddenly Donald Trump was, you know, knighted, what would he be called, sir? A lot. I'll leave the missing word to you.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
Trump a lot.
You know the guy that comes second, because you know on your Facebook page. I mean, I know you don't go on it, but there's loads of people on there that love you, right? And one of them suggested that I should mention that the guy who comes second, right? Mm-hmm. Is he going to be the shadow MP in Gorton?
Shadow MP.
Because they're bringing these new things, right? Mm. But on
somebody should check that, though, because if he doesn't actually cast a shadow, then that's an indication.
He might be a ghost, yeah. You know, on a serious note, yeah, you know, Nigel Farage, yeah, well, Fagash, yeah, it's a lovely name you've created for him, yeah. Mm-hmm. You know what? He's so backward, yeah. Okay?
What does that mean?
You know, backward, because he's saying that Muslim women are thick. Oh. That's what he's trying to say in a roundabout way. Yeah?
Well, okay, if there is indication, and so far there's been no indication, the police are, I think the last I saw that they were looking into it, the Manchester authorities said that no one had suggested there was anything untoward that happened. But if there was, then that is, I think it's against the law. And it shouldn't happen. I mean, if you are casting a vote in private, then there shouldn't be somebody that you know who you may be in fear of looking over your shoulder and checking that you're ticking the box that they told you to.
Okay, you know what? You know, I'll give you a football analogy first, right?
Yeah.
If the old man sports Man United, it's more likely the son's going to sport Man United as well.
Right.
Yeah? And that's how it follows, yeah? So if a family all sport Labour, generally everybody's going to vote Labour. So that just throws his argument right out, right? And the other one is...
But it doesn't, though. But it's irrelevant what they vote for or who they vote for. I mean, I know that the only reason that he's complaining is because he lost. But it is irrelevant in this discussion of who they actually voted for if they were being persuaded to cast that vote for a particular party.
What isn't canvassing persuading people to
vote? Well, yes, I mean, that's what the newspapers... The newspapers have been doing it for a couple of weeks now, screaming headlines about how dreadful it would be if the crazy Greenies got in, and how only Nigel Farage can save this country.
I'm not sure, but you know when I used to vote before, when I used to go in person, because I do a postal vote now, yeah? I understand there can be fiddles with the postal vote. Somebody will put the cross in, say, listen, I want to put it on it, whatever, that can be done. But when you go in person, there's two people in the polling office, and if they see people going in two by two, they say, mate, hang on, stop, you can only go one.
Well, you would think so, yes.
Yeah? So they could have called the police. So that throws
I mean, it's not likely. It's not likely they were going to be overrun, is it? I've never been in a polling station where there's been more people doing the voting than there is behind the trestle table handing out the pieces of paper. There's usually more of them than there are people who actually showed up to vote.
I mean, if I can give you an example in India, especially in the Punjab, where when they have their votes, they get truckloads of whiskey, right, and they're dishing it out to people, right? And what the opposition said was, listen, take their whiskey because we can't afford to give you the whiskey, but just vote for us when you go in the voting booth.
Right.
Yeah, all right? So he's such a bad loser, right, that he thinks the world is his oyster. And I'm in agreement with you. I think he's actually peaked. And I think he's not going to do any... Well, he might get the odd seat somewhere. But you know when they're saying Labour's lost that seat after 100 years? Well, Ellesmere Port, Conservatives lost that after such a long time as well, didn't they? Because that one was a safe seat for them. So it's the same kind of thing. History is repeating itself.
Yeah. In 2024, Ellie Chowns was elected for the Green Party for North Herefordshire. 21,000 votes. A majority of almost 6,000 over the second place Tory, who won the previous election with a significant majority.
Yeah, and what really annoys me was just in case Farage had won, right, his head would have been even bigger than what he is now, right? And no, honestly, because that would have just elevated his ego even more, right? And you know what? I think he is an actual clown.
Well,
you know,
I think what it has done is pricked the balloon of this idea that it was an inevitability that reform were going to form the next government. Now I think that people just won't think that anymore, and you know the right wing press will try to re-establish the old order before this by-election result came in and, try to persuade us that the only person that can save this country is Nigel Farage. Only when Nigel Farage is in number 10 can this country truly be proud again. And they're going to be beating us to death with that kind of stuff. And they all had their headlines written. It was, thank goodness for reform. They're here to save us. But it didn't work out that way.
No, and the other thing, you know, Zach Polensky, he's not an exact candidate for the Muslim vote, is he? Because, I'm not... He's Jewish and he's gay, right? So, Fagash, right, is actually just blowing in the wind now, right, for no reason. He should just face up to it. And my advice to Keir Starmer would be, mate, listen... Don't let Farage live in your head, Get him out of your head,
Well, it's very, very difficult when he's got the entire might of the British press who are, bellowing about him on a daily basis.
Well, that proved him wrong today, this morning. It proved him wrong. I was like you this morning. I turned on the news and before I went to work, I put the telly on, right, rather than go on my phone. And I heard, I thought, yep, well done, fair play. But what disappointed me was that Labour finished third. If they had come second, that would have been a lot better.
Yeah.
And Starmer and Rachel Reeves need to understand a few things, right? You know, like me, I've been a Labour supporter all my life. I've been an activist. I've been knocking on doors and everything, right? And they need to stop coming out with these things like, Island of Strangers, or if you're struggling on get a Saturday job, that was Reeves, they don't need to do that. Now, and in the week, right, Kemi Badenoch said, oh, well, this is a pedo sympathiser. Well, I'm saying what they're saying, people are on the door. Now, if the Labour people was to say what they've heard about Kemi Badenoch, yeah, you know, what they're hearing on the door, how would she feel? Now, Parliament over the last 10 years has been brought down in, you know, on a Wednesday when they have that circus, yeah?
Yeah.
I think you need proper adults in that room to say, listen, if you're going to do playground behaviour, we don't... No, I know it's a circus.
That boat has sailed and sunk.
Yeah.
They enjoy it too much. It is a circus. It's just a show. There's never anybody on those benches at any other time, and yet there's barely a... Well, there isn't a seat. There's standing room only just for that moment when they...
Yeah.
It's essentially cheering for the gang. That's all they do. They wave their papers in there and go, bah, 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 and it's... You know, it's as fake as professional wrestling. Don't expect anything from that, because it's nothing but clips for the telly, and these days social media, of people who aren't comedians trying to land jokes.
It's like the WWF, the wrestling,
exactly.
It's all fake, right?
Terrible.
The one thing, you know when you say not all parties are the same, there's a bit of difference, right?
Yeah.
You know... two questions for you. Adam Margaret Thatcher and John Major, which one would you say was a better Prime Minister?
Well, it depends what you mean by better. I'd say John Major was just a more decent person.
He was, yeah. And the last Prime Minister since Cameron, which one would you say was the most decent person then?
Liz Truss.
Absolutely.
No, you can't say that. No, Nick, listen.
Yeah. Since David Cameron, who was our best Prime Minister, in a pretty dismal parade, I'm picking the current one. The current one.
Well, I mean, how can you be the current one?
The current Prime Minister is the best Prime Minister since David Cameron.
The best, no, the Conservative Prime Minister that you had. Sorry,
right.
Yes. Obviously, Starmer is the best Prime Minister.
Yeah, I'm going to say Theresa May. Mm.
Theresa May, she was I think she was sincere.
Yeah.
But you know the 1922 committee and the proper Tories, they were saying to her, those people, you can't do that. You can't look after the people. Theresa May was a decent human being, like John Major.
Mm.
But the thing is, the party that you are representing will not let you become a good human being. They want you to do what they want, right? And which is, you beat the peasants, yeah? And you carry on beating them.
Maximize the benefit for shareholders. And you know, I was... I've got to go, because I'm up against the break, but I was... but thanks for that, Ranjit. Yeah, I was taking a train up country, and as usually is the case when I do that, I'm appalled at the state of the housing that is being built next to train lines up and down the nation. I mean, there's so many that are being built now, and they're all the blooming same. Angry, clenched fists, furious red houselets in an otherwise featureless field of tarmac. Horrible, horrible, ugly homes. Tiny little windows, mean proportions, squashed up against each other. No gardens. There can't be any cupboards in those places. They're too small. Why? Why is our country being despoiled like that? You'd think that a true patriot, like a lot of the politicians who wave the flags the most, you'd think that they'd be all over this. But they're not. They complain about solar panels despoiling the beauty of the country, but it's not that. It's these hideous developments. And why are they so ugly? To maximise the profits of shareholders. Who are the shareholders? The richest families in the world. The richest families in the world are the people that own all the shares. Not all, obviously, but the vast majority. And they're owned by either them directly, or they're owned by the wealth management companies that manage their wealth. But why are the rest of us allowing this to happen? They're getting away with it because whenever anybody says anything like this, or whenever anybody says, you know, perhaps they a supermarket chain that is turning over billions and billions of pounds worth of trade every year and is making hundreds of millions of pounds of profit, they complain and say, well, we're going to have to put our prices up if the minimum wage goes up by 50p an hour. Well, hands are tied. Yeah, no, they're not. Their hands are only tied if the only thing that they are concerned with is maximising shareholder profit. But why is that the only thing that we ascribe any value to? How about maximising the pleasure of the people that work for you? That's out. That's eco-woke hippie talk, that is. No, the only thing that seems to have any validity is whatever maximises the profits of shareholders. I had a conversation with some economist the other day on my serious, in inverted commas, Sunday show. And I made that point. We were talking about the minimum wage, and he said, well, you know, they won't be able to do anything other than to raise the prices if the minimum wage goes up by 50p an hour. And I just exasperatedly said, well, you know, they could make less money. And he said, what? You mean make less profits? As though that was a ludicrous thing to say. Yes, make less profits. Give less to the shareholders of this corporation who are already among the richest people in the world. And we're giving everything up over to corporations on the basis that what we want as a country, as a nation, all of the nations in the world, what we, the little people, what we want is neither here nor there. It's an irrelevance. The most important thing, in fact, the only thing to consider is maximising the profits of shareholders, the richest people in the world. Why? How have we got to this point without any discussion? It's absolutely astonishing to me. And those houselets, those red-faced, furious, angry, clenched-fist houselets in the otherwise featureless terrain, they're going to be there for 100, 200 years. It's like the all of those hideous blocks of empty towers of flatlets that are over in Vauxhall. Awful. They're going to be there for hundreds of years. We've given it up. Why? Were you asked for your opinion? No. They threw them up because that's what would benefit the shareholders the most. Well, who the hell are they? Is what I thought on the train going up. And it's not just the houses, it's everything. They've taken over the world, and any talk of redressing the balance is, well, that's the politics of envy, that is. We've been hypnotized. Hey, people, wake up. It's later than you think.
Weekdays from 7 a.m.
This is Taxation Without Representation.
Straight to the point.
You get giddy with all these U-turns.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
Lucky he gets up in the morning, really, isn't it?
Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app. Download it now from your app store. LBC.
From rusty chains to fancy frames and everything in between. Sign up for British Heart Foundation's iconic London to Brighton bike ride. Because it's not your wheels, it's how you use them. Whether you're a brand new rider or seasoned pro, challenge yourself this June and make your ride matter with British Heart Foundation. And you won't need any fancy gear, just your helmet and your bike. Sign up today, search London to Brighton bike ride and keep us beating.
At AJ Bell, we believe every customer deserves brilliant service, which is just one reason we're rated excellent on Trustpilot. And we all trust pilots, with their smooth, captainy voices that make you feel like you'd let them land anywhere they like. Sorry, where was I? Right, AJ Bell, rated excellent by sexy pilots. I mean Trustpilot. I'm a flight risk. AJ Bell, feel good investing. The value of your investments can go up or down.
Leading Britain's conversation, Nick Abbott. Alexa, send a comment to LBC.
I really like you. Do you like me?
Yeah, sure, why not? Liverpool. Hello, Dave.
Hello, Nick. How are you?
Good, thanks.
I actually have a lot of points to make, but I don't know if you heard the adverts there. It sounds like you haven't had your Weetabix.
Oh, me?
Well, it said, you know, there's lots of problems in the world, but yeah.
you know.
Right. We can't talk about the adverts, so what else have you got?
Okay. Well, thanks for taking my call. I wanted to hear your expert political opinion, because nobody has yet mentioned, I've been listening to the whole show, had Labour allowed Burnham to run, I'm pretty sure he would have won by a landslide.
Well, we don't know, though, do we? What if he had given up the mayorship about 3 years early? You know, the good people of Manchester voted for him to be their mayor, the expectation that he would actually, you know, do that rather than skip away at the earliest opportunity to do something else.
But he has done that.
Hasn't. No, the election was in 24, and I think it's a 4-year term, so we had at least
No, he didn't start in 24.
I think so.
Did he?
I think it was 2024, wasn't it? That was the last election. Yeah. Anyway, you had years to run as the mayor. Now, you either do a job or you don't, so there's that. The other thing is, if he had given it up and then lost, which is possible, you know, it's entirely possible. I don't know what his voting record is in that precise manner, but all of Manchester wasn't voting, was it?
No, but there's name value and all of that.
Mm.
I'm pretty sure he would have won, and it wouldn't have been the whole election fiasco.
Well, I'm not sure, because when in local, hang on a minute, in local elections, people don't vote for the local candidate, almost never. I bet that if I went in the street with a clipboard offering people £100, they wouldn't be able to tell me who their local MP is. I bet most people have got no clue.
No, but particularly, if you went with a clipboard and asked who is Andy Burnham,
yeah,
they would have all been able to tell
well,
you.
Well, maybe not all.
And not only certain people would have told you they don't like him.
Yeah, but my point is that people don't vote for the local candidate, they vote for the leader of the party concerned. So people would still have had in mind that they were voting for Keir Starmer.
They would be thinking, we're voting Andy Burnham because he's now going to get into Parliament and be the next Labour leader to get rid of Keir Starmer.
No, they wouldn't. No, but people who are subsumed in politics might think that through, but most people who only sort of watch the news for 15 minutes a night, they wouldn't have thought that through at all. I bet they were unaware that such a thing was even possible.
I think you're underestimating the people of Manchester.
I'm underestimating. I think I'm correctly profiling everyone.
Well, maybe. I mean, Andy Burnham is still... He's very similar to... I mean, if we're honest, he's very similar to Keir Starmer in his politics. But he doesn't have the toxicity that Keir Starmer has.
But then what's the point of changing one grey functionary for another?
Well, you have to be likeable to get votes in politics, don't
you? Well, yes. I suppose it helps, yes. Although Keir Starmer is not a changed person, he's still the same guy as won the previous election. I know that Jeremy Corbyn got more votes when he tried twice, got more votes. But likability is important. But you know, we had likability.
Yeah. Wait a minute.
And where did that get us?
I don't think either of us like that guy.
No.
But I see where you're going.
Right.
But
I just think that if Andy Burnham is the answer, then, and he quit the mayorship to run and then didn't win, then that would have been
tragicomic. Surely the Labour Party thought that Andy Burnham would at least be a better option than whoever. I bet you can't even tell me who the Labour candidate was.
I wrote it down earlier, and without referring to my notes, that no, I can't.
Exactly.
me. It was the plumber versus the guy from GB News.
Angeliki somebody. Brilliant. Yeah. Right. Okay. So, and both of those people, I think that the locals were voting for the leader of those parties. I mean, I bet most people have got no idea who that Matt bloke is, and I bet no one had any idea who, well, I can't remember her name either.
If Andy Burnham was against either of those, you would say Andy Burnham would win.
No, you would say that, Dave. I would say that it's entirely possible that he would have lost. And then what?
No. I think when you look at all the polling, it looks like...
Yeah, well, listen, the polling told us that Reform were going to win.
From Labour.
Hey, Dave, listen, the polling told us that Reform were going to win it.
Exactly.
And so
a lot of votes shifted from Labour to Green. But that wouldn't have happened with Burnham, would it?
Well, you keep saying that, but I'm not entirely convinced. I think people would still have voted for... they would still have voted thinking that Labour was Keir Starmer rather than Andy Burnham. Anyway, around and around and around we go, and there's no... we're not progressing at all. Circling the drain, here we are, Dave. But thanks for that. 0345-6060-973. Wayne says, industry is the best thing on TV. Must watch modern TV. I think you'll love it, says Wayne. Now, I did. I watched the first couple of episodes of Series 1. And there were excruciating sex scenes. Why do we need to see that? Why do we need to see people with their clothes off pretending to, do it?
Disgusting.
Why? I don't get it. It doesn't improve the storyline. It doesn't, in fact, it doesn't move the story on at all. It's just gratuitous. But it's painful because they're not doing it. We know they're not doing it, so we're just sitting there waiting for it to be over. Stop pretending and get back to, stabbing each other in the back in business terms. And there's so much of it these days. It's almost as though it's become obligatory. And like I said, I'm not remotely prudish, but it does seem to be completely unnecessary and excruciating if, you're watching it with company, for instance. 0345-6060-973. It's 12:30 on LBC, the news headlines with Tim Daly.
The UK government has temporarily withdrawn its staff from Iran following the apparent failure of negotiations over Tehran's nuclear programme. On Friday, President Trump said he was not happy with the outcome but remains undecided on military action. Bill Clinton has told members of Congress in Washington he did nothing wrong during his relationship with Jeffrey Epstein. The former US president has not been accused of any wrongdoing, and the Swedish military is accusing Russia of being behind an unauthorized drone flight off the south of the country. They say it happened earlier this week while a French aircraft carrier was docked in the port of Malmo. LBC weather becoming dry with clear skies for the south of the UK. Showers will continue in northern and northwestern areas overnight. We'll see a low of around 3 degrees.
This is LBC.
It's the last chance to get yourself a ticket for Saturday's lotto draw.
It could be you.
Lotto from the National Lottery. Rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
At Lidl, we value all the good that value brings. But what do you value? You value the quiet victory of a school run that glides without a hitch, the lunchbox negotiations. You value filling your boot, bringing everything and everyone to the table. You value your food, real food, fresh food, quality that speaks for itself. And so do we, giving you more to value at every step, every day. Lidl, more to value.
It's not easy being a clamp, stuck on the wheel of the one person on the street who didn't tax their car. Yeah, Graham at number 7, I'm talking about you. Bet the neighbourhood group chat is as well. Wish I had a group chat. Maybe I can chat to myself. Hi, Clampy. How's it going? Not great, Clampy. Being clamped to the only untaxed car for miles is so lonely. Over 98% of drivers tax their vehicle on time. Tax it. Don't risk it. Visit gov.uk/DVLA/taxit.
Train to Cambridge and then all aboard the paddleboards. A little bit different, should be fun. Or wobbly, or wet.
The wetsuit's a good look on you, Steve.
Oh, actually, this is very relaxed.
George is at the
of a can without a paddle.
Train home, that was such a laugh. I think I might even have a new hobby. Download the Thames Link Railway app to book tickets and save a third off group travel on off-peak journeys. Thames Link Railway, where every stop is a story.
Leading Britain's conversation, Nick Abbott. Alexa, send a comment to LBC.
I just want to tell you all how happy I am to be back in the studio, making a picture again.
Yeah, it's a radio show, dear. 0345 6060 973. Haringey. Hello, Frank.
Hi, Nick. Good morning.
Frank.
Nick, I think the problem for the left is that it's such a fragmented coalition. There's inherent contradictions. You've got, within the ethnic minorities, you've got the Muslim and non-Muslim voters, whose Muslim voters are being generally more socially conservative. Then you've got a liberal left voters. The Greens have won a fantastic by-election. It's actually a result that I wasn't totally surprised of, looking at the makeup. Muslim dominated in Longside and Rush Home. Students in Ravenshoe could have been balanced out with the right.
Well, I don't know. I bet not many students voted. I bet they didn't.
Okay, no, all right. Okay, I won't argue that point. But I think what's happening is that the left generally. The Rainbow Coalition is a much more fragmented coalition than the right wing. If you look at a right wing vote, it's mainly now white working class plus typical old right wing conservatives who are deserting the Conservative Party. And they are a more unified, they are a more unified bloc. All right, they'll have a feeling of around 25% to 35% of the vote, top 25, but that's a solid block that will vote.
Well, you can see how uniform they are because the one party, the newer party, is stuffed to the gills with members of the older party.
Yeah, but what it is, just this supplanted right, but the left, they could split into many bits. Plaid Cymru is the SNP in Scotland and Wales, the Greens. But what you get is that I've been a member of the Labour Party for 31 years, Nick, and I know, for example, if you get hard left members, they'll join the Labour Party. If it's a Corbyn leaves it, they'll defect over the war or what have you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then they'll vote Liberal Democrat sometimes. They'll vote Green sometimes. And it's a very fragmented coalition. And within that, there's so many different elements to it.
There are elements to people, you know, they're made of people, and people have different thoughts about, you know, some people are right wing about law and order, and they're left wing about personal freedom, and some people are the other way around, and you know, you can have two conflicting opinions, apparently conflicting opinions, in the same mind, so you can definitely have it in the same crowd of people, but I think you said the word coalition, and that's what it has to be. We can't continue to run our country on the basis of whichever minority party just happened to get the largest votes in particular areas is the one that can run the country as a dictatorship. That's insane.
Well, I mean, if you look at what's happened at the last general election, it was a loveless landslide.
Yeah.
I mean, when I saw the exit poll, and I was thinking, the only place where Labour jumped dramatically was in Scotland. And I was seeing 2%, 3% up. And then you get with Keir Starmer's declaration, his majority plumped to only 11,000. And the big thing is, look, we on the left are supposed to be on the side of the angels. The moment, we knew that the right-wing press were going to be strangled the Labour government at first.
Yes.
The mistakes that they've done, you know, if you compare it to how I know the economy was more benign when Blair took over, okay? But look at the sort of political nous that they had.
A much more professional setup. I just think that the Labour Party, maybe they weren't really expecting to win. I certainly don't think they expected to win by quite such a handsome margin. And they weren't really ready, which is sort of understandable, you know, after 14 years of being out, to understand a job that they had not had for 14 years. I kind of get that.
My point is, though, is that the split within the right is less pronounced. The coalition that makes up the right parties is less fragmented than the left. Than the left.
Because well, the left usually have the same trick. They organise a circular firing squad. They take each other out, and then the right wing step nimbly over their collapsed form and take the tape. Always.
Yeah. Not for no reason that the Conservative, up till recently, were the most successful fighting electoral machine in Western Europe.
Yeah. And the Republicans ditto, and the Tories have collapsed as the Republicans look like they're bound to do. I mean, Donald Trump's popularity is in the toilet. The only person who was less popular, I think, in if not the history of the presidency, then certainly in living memory, the only person less popular as a president than Donald Trump now was Donald Trump the first time around.
And the interesting thing in the Democratic Party, the reason why they are now a bit more popular is that they're focused on one particular issue now, and that's affordability. And also, they are now fighting dirty as well in terms of, I'm not criticising them, but they've now caught on to the fact that we got to gerrymander as well.
Exactly.
We've got to fight nasty. My dad always has a philosophy. If they kick you in the shin, you kick them back in the balls, basically. And too often the left don't do it. And, you know, we're too soft. We should, you know, we're too soft. No, go for them, you know, and hit them all. And the other thing is, quick one, Labour had the rapid rebuttal unit in the Blair years, the Excalibur programme.
Right.
So anything that came out rubbish, any sort of misinformation, they were onto it like a, you know, like
It was a different time, though, because we weren't up to our eyeballs in social media and all of the misinformation that goes with that. We weren't fighting foreign billionaires who were flooding this country with lies, essentially.
But Nick, to be honest with you, the own goals, but the other thing is interesting, isn't it? The Labour majority is maybe too large. The old Francis Pym's adage, the warning that, you know, landslides could be actually a bad thing. If the Labour Party, you could say they could be held to ransom. Look at the things like, you know, the child benefit cap. Now, I actually don't necessarily agree with lifting the child benefit. I think the money should be spent on not taxing the NI increase on the employment, but that's
The thing with the two-child benefit cap is that we are desperate for children. We're running out of people. And so it's a long-term benefit for the nation to persuade parents to have more children, because otherwise, when we're all, you know, in need of help and assistance, Frank, there won't be anyone there to do that.
No one's going to clean.
Exactly. Yeah. Doesn't bear thinking about, does it? All right, got to go, but thanks for that. Steve said, I had a leak in my bathroom and I called the Green Party. They said they couldn't help me. That's it, Nick. They've lost my vote. Nico in Appledore says, watch Small Profits on BBC iPlayer. Mackenzie Crook's gentle, surreal comedy. It's wonderful, whimsical without being mawkish. Well, that sounds like that thing who was in Digging Up Treasure, whatever that was called. Whimsical without being mawkish. It was quite good. I mean, it wasn't laugh-out-loud funny, but it was amusing. You know, much the same way as, I guess, Dad's Army was sort of infrequently laugh-out-loud funny, but it was just comfortable to be spending time in the company of those people, like your friends. And Dave says, every time Keir Starmer says that he understands how upset everybody feels, I'm reminded of an HR manager who's just announced a tranche of redundancies. I think, like swathe, the word tranche never appears in a sentence that carries good news. Beware of the tranche. Clapham. Ty.
Good evening.
Yes, sir.
Why don't we celebrate the fact that we got the plumber elected to crumbling House of Commons? Why don't we? She just broke a ceiling, as far as I'm concerned, and she's supposed to go for the Labour Party, although, unfortunately, she's from the Green. They're trying to encourage these young people to take up apprenticeship in building, in plumbing, in electric. So she's, to me, she just broke the ceiling. She didn't go to Oxford. She didn't go to Cambridge, St. Andrew or Queen's. But she's a plumber. We need people like that in the House of Commons.
I know.
She will mend the leaks there.
Well, probably not. No, she'll be busy doing other things. But it's we do need plumbers. That's and we need plasterers. And she's just turned her back on both of those professions.
No, she has. She's encouraging, actually. So people would know that they can get down to do other things. You don't need a degree, don't need anything. That you can be a person. She can have a personal experience that would be useful.
Right. You can certainly be a person. There's no doubt about that. There's no impediment to being a person if you're not a plumber. But if you are a plumber, then you're a special kind of person.
Exactly.
Yeah. And always wash your hands after shaking hands with a plumber. All right. Thanks a lot, Di. David says, Dave here. Yeah, I know that. He says, just wondering if blind people are allowed to vote. How could they make a cross if they can't see the boxes? Huh. Interesting. I don't know. I mean, I'm fairly sure that they're allowed to vote, but I don't know how they would make a cross if they can't see the boxes. I mean, would they be able to ask an invigilator to accompany them into the booth, into the plywood booth? Don't know. And what happens to all those plywood booths, by the way? Are they kept in the same place as those Tyrolean huts that they bring out around Christmas all over the world? God, the warehouse that they fit in must be colossal. Where do they put them all? And Darren in Plymouth says, I saw a great quote today that sums up perfectly why it's not worth trying to educate the MAGA followers. It went something along the lines of, you'll never see a bumblebee wasting its energy trying to convince a fly that honey is better than poo. Definitely going to use that one a lot more when I'm trolling the Phantom Menace and his cousin-loving dingalings.
Don't be rude.
That is quite rude, yeah. But they do love their cousins. In a legal way. In Arkansas. I heard that quote this week, and I can't remember who said it. You'll never see a bumblebee wasting its energy trying to convince a fly that honey is better than poo. Where did I see that? I think you've nicked that off somebody, Darren. Well, you did. He told me that he'd nicked it right at the beginning of the thing there, but I can't remember who he nicked it from. And Chris says, LBC, we can't control something, so let's legalise it. Shoplifting? Phone theft? No, of course not. He's talking about drugs. He's talking about the policy of the Greenies to admit that the war on drugs was lost about 50 years ago. Drugs won. But we could keep doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. But, you know, insanity that way lies. And I don't think legalise it is the policy. I think decriminalising it, which is different, and treating it as a public health issue, which is better. It's not as though it hasn't been tried. It's been tried in many, many countries to varying degrees. It's just that in this country, we, regardless of who's in power, they just dig their heels in and say, no, can't do anything other than we've done already and achieved nothing doing it. We must continue to act in a way that achieves nothing, because only by acting in a way that achieves nothing can we really start to achieve something. It's nuts. Look at Portugal. 25 years in from their experiment, and I do believe that Portugal is still there. Brits are leaving this country to go and live in Portugal. It's so nice a place. So if they can do it, why can't we? Unless you think, Chris, that there is something wrong with a British person, which doesn't sound very patriotic. I bet you're not even wearing Union Jack socks.
No!
0345-6060-973. Friday, Saturday, Sunday night at 10. Nick Abbott, LBC.
Coming up at 1 on LBC, Clive Bull.
Keir Starmer is being urged to move to the left or risk more losses to the Greens. Should he do that? And is there any alternative to the forthcoming pay-per-mile car tax?
Clive Bull at 1. Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app.
It's not easy being a clump stuck on the wheel of the one person on the street who didn't tax their car. Yeah, Graham at number 7, I'm talking about you. Bet the neighbourhood group chat is as well. Wish I had a group chat. Maybe I can chat to myself. Hi, Clampy. How's it going?
Not great, Clampy. Being clamped to the only N-Tax car for miles is so lonely.
Over 98% of drivers tax their vehicle on time. Tax it. Don't risk it. Visit gov.uk/DVLA/taxit.
When you're smiling.
Banning Dental Group Clinics. With over 5,000 top-rated Google reviews. Keep on smiling.
You want £1 million.
I'd love £1 million.
So you enter the birthday draw. It's a very personal draw. So you think of a personal way to spend £1 million.
I would hire a hype man so everything I do would suddenly be epic.
It's a lucky day and you win the birthday draw. So...
let's go, Kev. Goat cheese bagel for lunch. Woohoo!
Is it your lucky day? For your chance to win £1 million, just search the birthday draw and enter now. From Global and ITV. 18 plus UK only. No purchase necessary.
On a windswept walk in Carmarthen, while someone tries to use your card details to hire a speedboat in Cannes, this is the moment you relax, knowing that Barclays Advanced Tech has helped to spot the fraud in under a second, and their expert team are on hand to close it down. So you can get back to being windswept. Oh, just one of the ways we're protecting our customers 24/7. Search Barclays Fraud Protection. Barclays. Back in your future.
Nick Abbott on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
Come on, we're running late!
We are running late. Chris and Dennis say, did it really take two people to email me? They say, we have just come from the Plymouth Aquarium late night drinks. You get to see the tanks from behind the scenes, all the pipes and filters. It's fascinating, says Chris and Dennis.
Boring!
It doesn't sound fascinating. Pipes and filters, you say. He says, we are both keen to ban fishing as we love fish. So have been delighted to hear that Waitrose have stopped selling mackerel. Yeah, I heard that. I'm kind of surprised that there are... too few mackerel in the sea now, because that's the fish that we catch round these parts that we don't like very much. We in this country prefer fish that doesn't taste of anything, but mackerel is the kind of thing that we catch round here, and we just ship it off to French people who will eat it for lunch.
Disgusting.
Awful. But I'm kind of surprised that, I mean, I'm not surprised that Waitrose are leading the way on this, because, you know, that's their thing, treating the land and the water respectfully, rather than, some supermarkets do tend to give you the idea that they're just scraping the goodness of the earth and the sea for maximising profits, again, to shareholders. I mean, I don't know. They could be the forces of evil, for all I know. But it seems to me that Waitrose step a little lighter on the land. But I'm kind of surprised that mackerel is in danger of running out, because I didn't think we ate that a lot. And now, I mean, I know that mackerel is the thing that you're supposed to eat because, you know, it's very, very oily and it's got all that good stuff in it, but it's kind of like eating medicine to me. It's not something that I would enjoy like smoked salmon is like a nice treat for lunch. But now that they're not selling it anymore, now I feel like I want it. You know. Complain and complain and complain.
Stop whining.
Oliver Mason said, I cooked lentils this week. Are lentils woke? Yes, Oliver, and you're on a list now. Patrick says, you must watch Red Dwarf. It's the funniest British sitcom ever. You will love Rimmer. He's so like you. Well, I'm thinking about being offended, but as I don't know who that is, I'll put that on hold. It's the funniest British sitcom ever? No. It most certainly is not. I've never having seen it, I don't know anything about it, but it doesn't prevent me from having a strong opinion. How can it be the funniest British sitcom ever when there exists Fawlty Towers in the world? Come off it, Patrick. Nothing is that funny. Literally nothing is that funny. I mean, I must have seen that a dozen, maybe multiple dozen times, and it's still funny. No other programme is like that. It's because it's clever and it's got a boatload of physical comedy in it. You know, for somebody who's so tall and gangly, he was is John Cleese, an absolutely brilliant physical comedian. Chris in Stubbington says, "Hi Nick, hi. Did you see a docudrama, A Dirty Business, on Channel 4 this week about the water companies and the Environment Agency? It was shocking. Why is nobody in jail for polluting rivers and seas?" Well, nobody is in jail for polluting rivers and seas because we must maximise the profits to shareholders. And that's what they were doing, which apparently is a get-out-of-jail-free card for anything. As long as you're maximising profits for shareholders, you can do anything you want. But if you, Chris in Stubbington, went down to your local river and poured in some poison, or just took your the slop from your morning ablutions...
Disgusting.
..and poured that into a river, you would be harassed by the law. You'd be going to jail, mate. But the people who are acting in the exact same way in order to maximise profits for shareholders do not go to jail. They go to the House of Lords. That's where they go. How many more of these have I got? Let me just check. One moment, please. My mouse. Oh, 12 pages. I'm never going to get through them. Why do people insist on communicating with their thumbs when they could communicate with their mouths? Open your mouths and let it out. John in Addleston says, Trump nickname suggestions, Lord of the Files. His hippopotamus. And Donaldo, as in Ronaldo. Well, I don't get that last one. What's Ronaldo got to do with it? Lord of the Files? I like that. I'll stick that on the list. Newcastle. Hello, Neil.
Hi, Nick.
Neil.
You're on about, like, great comedies, Porridge and Open All Hours. Got to be in there.
I don't know about Open All Hours. Porridge... Yes. I mean, it was two sides of the two Ronnies, wasn't it? Open All Hours. It was.
Well, why did you not like Open All Hours?
No, Open All Hours wasn't Ronnie Corbett. That was Sorry. Open All Hours was Ronnie Barker, as was Porridge. Yes. I don't think that they get enough credit as a comedy duo. I think there's the other comedy, like Morecambe and Wise, for instance. But Morecambe and Wise, you look back at an old Morecambe and Wise show, and you do not laugh as much as you do with the two Ronnies. And I think it's because the two Ronnies were wordsmiths, whereas Morecambe and Wise was a bit more sort of vaudeville slapstick. Oh, my God. On the TV the other day, I saw the end of the Wheel Tappers and Shunters Social Club. Have you ever seen that?
No.
Right. Well, you're missing something spectacular, Neil.
Who was that done by?
The host of the particular show that I saw was Bernard Manning.
Bernard Manning.
Bernard Manning.
Do you want to hear some of the Bernard Manning jokes on ITV?
No, I've heard them already, thanks, Nige. Not appropriate.
God, I hate that man so much. Garage.
Well,
God.
Don't watch the Will Tappers and Shunters. So I cannot believe that it's on TV. Somebody put it on TV and they're allowed to do that. Can you believe that?
Cartoons as well, Hanna-Barbera, you on about? What about Wacky Races? That was a classic, though.
Yeah, they were...
absolute classic.
Off to a standing start. Because,
look it up on YouTube, because all of them, they're just pure class. The commentary is better than the commentary you get now, man. I'm telling you.
Right, okay, I'll look it up at my leisure. Thanks a lot, Neil. Lawrence says, I heard somebody playing Dancing Queen on a didgeridoo today. I thought that's ABBA, Richard. Oh, come on. This late in the day, really? Torture? That's ABBA original. A listener with material.
Oh, no.
Can you believe that? Berner says, Nick, what do you want tonight? I want some of that too. I'm on tea, two cups of strong tea. I don't know what they put in the tea. I suspect that they've been sprinkling crack in the tea bags in this building because it doesn't half give me a lift. out of my mind, I am. Racky says, my grandmother used to work in a chocolate factory and could chocolate anything they brought in. Right. Well, you mean dip it in the chocolate, regardless of what it happened to be, you know. Whatever it is, she can dip it in chocolate. Rebecca says, it's my birthday today and I've just checked. It's also International Polar Day. International Polar Day! Now, if you missed any of this super show, you should be aware that we stick it up the internet as a podcast. The Friday and Saturday shows get put up the internet as a podcast. It's on Global Player or the new LBC app, exclusive to those apps, both of which are free from your app store. And the thing to ask for is Nick Abbott, the whole show podcast. I think you'll love it. I'll be back tonight trying to get through all of the messages I didn't manage to this evening. Coming up at 4 on LBC, it's James Hansen. But first, here's Clive Ball.
Nick, thank you. Coming up after the news, more on the by-election aftermath. There's a lot of advice being dished out for Keir Starmer this morning. Veer to the left to avoid more losses to the Greens. Veer to the right. Show that you're tough on migration. Keep reform out of power. He says only Labour can fight the threat of the left and the right. So what should he be doing? Sticking in the middle? Plus, it's emerged that the Department of Transport were monitoring the mobiles of EV drivers as they prepared plans for charging drivers. So how comfortable are you with the plans for the forthcoming pay-per-mile tax? Is there any alternative? That and much more coming up after the news at 1, which is next on LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 1 o'clock. The Foreign Office is advising against all but essential travel to Israel and Palestine as tensions escalate in the Middle East over Iran's nuclear program. It's issued the guidance after the government announced it had temporarily withdrawn its staff from the Islamic Republic. President Trump has said he's not happy with the outcome of talks between Washington and Tehran aimed at preventing it from acquiring nuclear weapons. Nazanin Ansari is the managing editor of an independent media outlet focusing on Iran. She's been telling LBC an attack soon seems to be unlikely.
We know that Mr. Rubio, Secretary Rubio, will be traveling to the region next week, Monday and Tuesday, but without any reporters. Everyone is on their toes and we are watching and we are hoping to see whether there will be any movement this weekend or next. The situation is very hazardous.
Two people have died and around 40 have now been injured after a tram derailment in Italy. It then went on to crash into the window of a shop in the centre of Milan on Friday. The Home Secretary is expected to warn Labour against shifting to the left after its heavy defeat in the Gorton and Denton by-election. Shabana Mahmood is due to tell Labour MPs next week all voters want to see controls on migration as well. LBC's political editor Natasha Clark says she'll be outlining more ways of following the Danish model when it comes to dealing with asylum seekers.
LBC's been told there will be a bigger focus on increasing upfront financial incentives for failed asylum seekers to return home earlier in the process. The Danes currently offer up to £30,000 to speed up removals and have halved the number of people awaiting deportation with this approach. The Home Office claims that there are hundreds of families who have failed their claims, who are still spending years in taxpayer-funded asylum hotels while they await their removal.
A man's being questioned and bailed over a suspected hate crime against a Christian place of worship in Somerset. A threatening letter and dog feces were dropped inside the Jehovah's Witnesses Kingdom Hall in Minehead. It's being proposed parents who are guilty of neglecting their children will face similar monitoring to sex offenders. A new child cruelty register is being planned through an amendment to the Crime and Policing Bill. And in sport, the Premier League's bottom side, Wolves, have secured only their second win of the season. They beat Aston Villa on Friday evening 2-0 at home. LBC weather becoming dry with clear skies for the south of the country overnight, but showers will continue to affect northern and northwestern parts of the UK. We'll see a low of around 3 degrees. From Global's newsroom, for LBC, I'm Tim Daly.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Clive Bull.
Good morning, it's LBC. I'm Clive Bull with you through till four here on a Friday, Saturday and Sunday morning. And it is indeed already Saturday morning and it's 3 minutes past one. We've got a busy programme ahead, lots of stuff to talk about. And the most important thing of all is you can take part. In fact, I'm very much hoping that you will. If you're with us for any part of the morning, do join in. You can call in, you can send a message, whichever way you prefer, do take part. Because we want to be interactive between now and four and keep all of us, each other, awake as we go through the morning. What are we going to be talking about? Well, I do want to come back to the by-election because there are a few interesting questions that come out of it. I've been looking through the front pages for Saturday, and there is a lot of advice being dished out for Keir Starmer this morning, where he should go, veering over to the left to avoid more losses to the Greens, veer to the right, show you're tough on migration, keep reform out of power. And in fact, if you listen to what he says, he doesn't seem to be wanting to do either of those things. He says he's going to fight off. In fact, only Labour can fight the threat from the left and the right. That's a very odd thing, really, for a Labour Prime Minister to be saying there's a threat from the left and the right. But that's what he says. And he's characterising the Greens as a threat and Reform as a threat. So what does that mean? He's sticking in the middle. Now, for some people, that would suggest, well, he's not really saying anything, but you can make a good case that many of our most popular governments have in fact been somewhere in the middle and not on the extremes. So what advice would you have? We'll talk a bit about that this morning. Also, I want to talk about the forthcoming paper mile tax. It has emerged that the Department of Transport, not the current, under the current government, but under the Tory government, the Department of Transport were monitoring people's mobiles, the mobiles of millions of drivers. It was part of a deal, and I don't think it was logging people's names and stuff like that, but it was monitoring movements. I'll tell you more about this, but the reason I'm asking is because the reason they were doing it was that they were preparing plans for charging drivers, basically. Because one way or another, that's what they're going to have to do. Because as we move more and more towards electric vehicles, there's going to have to be a replacement for fuel duty. And as we know, Labour is now saying there is going to be a pay-per-mile car tax. And eventually, that is going to be monitoring our movements, I would suggest. So would you object to your movements being logged, which I think will almost inevitably happen? And is there an alternative? So there are two big things I'd like to pose as we start the programme, and I'd love your comments on either of these things. One is, where do we go now after that by-election? What's your reading of it? I'd like to pull that apart a little bit. And particularly, what does it mean for Labour? And secondly, I'd like to get in this morning into the pay-per-mile tax. How do we raise money from motorists? They're going to have to do it one way or another. How do they do that? Is there a problem, do you think, with this pay-per-mile, which inevitably will be monitoring where you go all the time? At the moment, they say, well, they're just going to check people's mileometers. Well, I don't think that will last very long. So I'd like to talk about that as well. Also, coming up later, Bill Clinton testifies to Congress about the Epstein files. We'll talk more about what that means and what next for those investigations. That's all coming up as well. So if you'd like to join in on any of our topics this morning, you may well have a tribute to Neil Sedaka, who we've only learnt in the last few hours has left us. If you've got a tribute you'd like to pay to Neil Sedaka, then, I mean, my Gen Z team, usual blank looks, never heard of him. No, because he's in his 80s, but he was a huge musical influence. So if you'd like to say a few words or send in a few words about Neil Sedaka, I think that would be nice to reflect that as well this morning. So lots going on. If you'd like to call in, that would be great, and we can have a conversation. 0345 6060973 is the number. If you can't call in, you can WhatsApp a message on that same phone number. And if you haven't got WhatsApp, you can text 84850. And if you don't want to even use your thumbs, you can speak into an Alexa and say, Alexa, send a comment to LBC, followed by that comment. Then I will do my very best, I can't absolutely guarantee it, but I normally do pretty well, to include all the messages and comments that come in between now and four, as long as they are suitable for reading out. So get in touch one way or the other, 0345 6060 973. And let's talk first about the by-election. And I don't know whether you were listening last night when we did a little bit of a by-election special, I think we'd call it. We were crossing over to the count all the time. And we did a lot of predicting and guessing yesterday as we waited for that result, which actually came right at the end of the programme. So I would like to do a little bit of a post-mortem, a bit of a chat about what actually happened and why, because I didn't even know what the result was during the whole programme yesterday. So there was a lot of guesswork going on. So I'd like to talk a bit about why it happened, what and where you think it leaves the current government as well. The papers this morning, many of them, of course, have got their own axe to grind, so they've got an agenda, but they are full of advice and warnings for Keir Starmer. How would you be taking this, do you think? If you were the Labour leader, you've lost one of your safest seats. And not to Reform in the end, but to the Greens. Now, you might well say, and some do take this view, well, it doesn't really matter. He's got a huge majority, so who cares? But I think it will matter. I don't think Labour will think that, partly because it comes down to individuals, and Starmer himself will want to survive. And if things continue to go downhill, he will be gone. No matter how big his majority is, he will be gone. And now, some are saying that the Greens winning is a clear message that Starmer's Labour Party is basically just not Labour enough, that he needs to be bolder. He needs to be more left-leaning, more radical, more clearly standing up for working people. On the other hand, other people, including, it would seem, his Home Secretary, judging by the news and the announcements upcoming about immigration, others are saying that he needs to fight off Reform, and you do that by stealing some of their clothes. Because Reform, actually, despite this by-election result, which may be an oddity, Reform actually has the possibility of winning a general election. The Greens don't. Well, they don't, in my opinion. I really cannot see that happening. I mean, nobody can predict anything safely, particularly over a period of 3 years, but I can't see that. Starmer himself, what does he say? Well, he says he's disappointed. He says the people want to see change and he understands our frustration and Labour will deliver, but basically he's saying we've got to be patient, give him a bit of time. And he says that only Labour can see off the threat, and this is the interesting bit, from the left and the right. So I mean, previously it was we're the only people who keep out reform from Downing Street. But now he's saying the left and the right, which is a bit of an odd thing to say, I think, for a Labour Prime Minister. Maybe you don't think that. So he's sort of sticking in the middle. He's being a centrist, you could argue. Is that the right course? Can anything anyway save him? Is it all a bit too late anyway? The Greens, meanwhile, have declared that they're the only people to keep out reform. And I must admit, I didn't take that very seriously because I don't think they are. In that particular circumstance, maybe. Because if Labour are going to lose and it's a Labour constituency, maybe people will vote Green. But generally speaking, the Greens are not going to form a government, are they? And then there's another front page reporting that Angela Rayner is back on manoeuvres again, ready to push Labour back to the left. Would that be, if you're a Green supporter, if you were just advising Labour, would you say, well, that's the way to go? You can knock the Greens out of the park. You've got Angela Rayner, who is a sort of working person representative, a bit more left-leaning. So would you like to see that happen? And does this Green win, do you think, give us any clues as to where the country is going? So let's do our own bit of post-mortem on the by-election result, whether you think it's significant or irrelevant. I'd like to hear from you. And what do you think this means for Labour? They're not going anywhere, but they could well change, and I think they will. It might mean a new leader, it might mean changing policy, being a bit bolder. I think, goodness knows, Starmer is not communicating well, and he does need to be bolder because nobody really knows enough about what he's standing for. What do you think? 0345 6060 973. And by the way, whilst we're talking about Angela Rayner, who's putting herself in the frame, where does this leave Andy Burnham now? Does this not... Really, it's a win for him, isn't it? Because they didn't win it without him. Does this really up the ante and put Burnham in pole position, do you think? Could be a leader after the local elections. What's your thought?